Peggy.
Linda, can you take roll?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sandra Rumpel.
Here.
And excuse me if I mispronounced anybody's name. Laura Swanson.
Here.
Ralph Busby.
Here.
Dean Sawyer.
Here.
Mark Saline.
Here.
Richard Beamer.
Yep.
David Allen.
Here.
Fred Springsteen.
Here.
Robert Smith.
If you're late.
Patricia Patrick.
Oh, yes, here.
Partially.
Janet Webster.
Here.
Don Heisler.
Here.
Don Davis.
Here.
Chuck Cornish.
Here.
So everyone's here but Smith.
Yeah, I think he will be coming in late because he's coaching track. Thank you. We have our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from 2013. These were distributed to you today. They're in print in the pack and the stack of papers that are at your place. We distributed them so you can have them for reference today. We will review them and approve them at the next meeting since we haven't had a chance to really look at them. But there were motions in those minutes that if you were trying to remember what we did last year, you might want to refer back to them. And everybody is wondering about the Band-Aid on my nose. Just, it's not for the minutes. I had an interaction with a picture hook today, and it first thing, I believe that I want Spencer to just go through some reminders about the budget process. We're going to be having, I hope to be out of here by 8:30 again. There will be time for public comment at the, we have a period at the end. So if anybody does want public comment here, I only see one member of the public, our stalwart here, but if you do want to comment, there will be time then. But I'm going to turn it over to Spencer for right now. One, to walk us through what's in front of us.
Sure.
And also where we are.
On the binder that was distributed tonight, this is the information that we sent out electronically yesterday to the budget committee, and it includes the agenda, a little summary of our meeting tonight, and then the capital outlay that we didn't get to review at the last meeting, we duplicated those sheets here. If you got notes on your other budget sheets, you can use both sets of sheets, but we'll be going through the capital outlay sheets that are in here on your Schedule C and Schedule D. Then we've got the discussion on the fund balance policy, and that's under attachment B on the tab in the book there. And then the summary of the hit and wish list compiled from the last meeting is under attachment C1. And again, we went through and basically compiled all the items that were there. If it was more of a request for additional information, there's no financial impact there. But if it was a specific wish to either add something to the budget or delete something from the budget, we've outlined the impact that has to the budget in those sheets. The next, under the C2 in the tab, this is a description of the various items that came up at the first meeting and some additional information on them. The following section is detailed. If it refers to an attachment, go back to the next page. These are the various reports from departments or schedules that were requested by the budget committee. And then the last page is the room tax, and that was an incomplete page in your original budget book, and we just wanted to make sure you had the full page on that. So that's basically what's in the book tonight, and what our intent is to finish reviewing the budget, which was the capital outlay projects, and then talk about the fund balance policy, and then we'll roll into reconciling the hit and wish list to determine what items the budget committee might want to change in the proposed budget. From the hit and wish list item, what we had the chair and I had discussed is that if someone wants to make a change in the proposed budget, then it's appropriate for someone to make a motion, have that motion supported, and then if there's a majority in favor of making the change, it'll change. If there's not, it'll stay as proposed. So that's kind of the process when we get to that point that we discussed. If there's something that, and we'll go through each of those, we'll run down each of those items as quickly as we can. And again, if someone wants to make a motion to make a change in the budget, they can do that at some time. And then there'll be some time for some general discussion and questions and any other issues that the budget committee wants us to look at prior to bringing back a pile of it for next year. So that's basically what we want to run through tonight.
Great, thank you. So any questions about process at this point? Hearing none, why don't we start in on finishing up on the capital outlay expenditure, which under tab.
Yeah, attachment A, schedule C is the first part of it.
Thank you.
And as you're looking at this, the schedule, you can see what the funding request was by the department. You can see the items that have been funded in the proposed budget. So if there's nothing following a requested item, then that means that it has not been included in the proposed budget. So the first section, the F1 through 6, are capital outlay items from the fire department. And two of them I want to clarify because the descriptions didn't get carried over properly. One is the security fence at 245 Northwest 10th. That's F2. And then F4 is actually a security fence at Agate Beach. And so those are a little further descriptions on those items. But again, in the capital outlay, we're funding a portion of the fire training facility update that was deemed to be essential. And otherwise, again, on the equipment, we have a fire truck and other things, but for the fire department, those are what's in the proposed budget. I'm going to keep on pressing on until someone tells me to stop. The next batch of items pertain to the library. And you can see there are three items in that batch that were recommended for funding. The balance of them are not recommended for funding for this fiscal year. The next batch is, and that's facilities overall. The next batch after the FM series, PM, are various parks maintenance projects. And we do have one item that was placed on the wish list that we'll cover at that time. That was the replace Agate Beach playground equipment. So we'll be discussing that separately coming up. It's already been placed on the wish list. And then the next projects that were on the list, AP is the for the airport, and the only project on this list that's funded is the AWAS relocation of the requested projects.
Was that AWAS location required because of the ongoing active projects and paving the runway and so forth?
Well, the AWAS has been located I believe in the UPS.
Oh, you're talking about the base station, the base transmitter.
Yes. I believe so, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. And so we wanted to get that out of there.
I understand.
Spencer, on the airport items, since there's no airport manager, who was making those funding requests that you listed there? I'm really,
yeah, most of the funding requests came via Melissa. Yeah, who's been working on the project at the airport.
Okay.
And then there were discussions with the airport staff as well.
Okay. Sure.
I have a question. An unfunded item that I see here, Coast Park Restroom, $45,000. I'm just curious, is that a good number for a restroom construction? There's a lot of areas where we've talked about restrooms over the years. It's on page.
It's PM2.
PM2.
Spencer, can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
That number is based on the number that we paid for the restroom down at the bayfront, adjusted for inflation. So it's the exact same type of bathroom facility we're proposing. That's what the cost was for that particular facility to install, and we added some dollars because it was a number of years ago. It's a prefabricated type of a structure.
Seems like a good price. Seems like a real good price.
Yeah, it's consistent with what we paid in the past.
And that's contingent on all city utilities being right at the location.
They are. Yeah. When we built Close Park, the facilities were stumped out there in anticipation of building bathrooms.
Right.
All they have to do is pour the slab and put the bathroom on it and hook it up.
David?
Spencer, get page A1 at the bottom. The Performing Arts Center boiler replacement, and that sometimes is going to be an important item. Is there still some life in the boiler, I suspect, or what's going on there?
It is a need. I think we prefer to replace it. We don't have, in my opinion, the $60,000 in this current year budget to do that, but it's something that has to be done sooner rather than later, but hopefully we can get through this next year.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions on the capital outlays at this point?
Okay. The next tab is the more of the construction projects, which is under attachment A Schedule B. And the first item on that is the strategic grant consulting services, if everyone's on the same page. So again, these are more of the capital outlay projects that are part of the proposed budget for this fiscal year. And these are primarily infrastructure type projects. Again, these projects are being funded by a variety of sources, including the water and sewer fees, bond funding, and other types of projects. And the when we went through the operating budgets, there were numbers for capital outlays, so those transfers have all been made as part of the proposed budget in here. And one of the things that we'll be doing differently coming up this year for the first time is we're appropriating by project. So as if there's a need to add money to a project or take money away from the project, that's an appropriation that would end up coming before the council in the future. In the past, they've all been lumped into water projects, sewer projects, and so from a tracking standpoint, this should be, I think, once we make this transition, it should be very, very transparent as far as what we're doing and how we're spending money on projects. The other thing that I mentioned at the last meeting on the projects is we'd like to develop a better way so that we're all able to kind of track how we're performing on these projects, and that's something that we'll be developing in this next fiscal year so that people can see where we're at with these budgets on these projects. And so that's got some work to do as far as getting that going, but that's certainly a priority of mine going forward. So again, the first page are the various projects that are funded in the proposed budget.
And question. Bidder three, or S3 is it? Ksenia Ridge. Where's Ksenia Ridge?
Ksenia Ridge. I know this because of some help I have, but Ksenia Ridge is located at 71 and Avery. It's just a small subdivision. That has a little cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Yeah, and someone told me I could ask that question, so I was able to figure out where it was at.
Yeah,
so.
Had a question on S2, the sidewalk and bicycle improvements, that $15,000. In talking to Public Works Director, I think that's for 9th Street and related improvements.
Yeah, typically these are infill areas where we have sidewalk here, and no sidewalk in the middle. But Tim, if you have any specific
to sidewalks along 9th Street with those pumps this year, if you ever walk 9th Street, there's some cool bike jumps in there and things. And 9th Street is also one of those streets that we may partially overlay this year. Some sort of work needs to happen there. What we normally do with bicycle and sidewalk money is like Spencer said, trying to infill on collector routes where we have major pedestrian activity. So we did it along 9th Street. We did the improvement along the fairgrounds. We did one along the angle behind City Hall. And they're kind of infill types of things. Or corrections, sidewalk, where it busted up or heaved, we go and fix those types of things. Because it's not a very large sum of money. I can do up to 2 blocks of sidewalk with that. I don't have to do major excavation, and I don't have to do do any embankment or anything like that, because the public works crews usually prep the whole site, and the contractor just comes in and pours the concrete.
Ninth Street is also part of the central parking district, and I know on the bayfront we paid for some sidewalk improvement, so is there a distinction between where you might get additional funds in areas where there's parking district money? And is this maintenance versus actual new construction? Is that a differentiation you make?
I don't really make a differentiation. Most of it's been new construction in areas where sidewalk is simply missing, where, you know, good rule of thumb is there's a cattle path there, it's a good place to put a sidewalk. And I think that's been the case in every place we put a sidewalk, is dug out the path that's been worn in the grass. This is probably the first time we're proposing to go towards some existing sidewalk and do some improvements. I think for decades, 9th Street's had some of those crazy sidewalk issues. Right by the toy store, there's no pedestrian ramps, it's always filled with water. What we're trying to do is make it more accessible, primarily for handicapped accessibility. You can't navigate those sidewalks with a wheelchair or a walker or crutches. And the corridor going to and from the hospital is very, very busy with pedestrians. In particular, there's actually an entire block of sidewalk missing at the hospital itself that we would like to infill. Now, I'm not completely sure how far that money will stretch on 9th Street, but we're going to take it as far as we can. And like I mentioned, probably a percentage of our overlay project will be addressed at 9th Street and some of the intersections, like potentially Lee, where it really is rough. And so you'll notice that we've done that. We've paired overlays and sidewalk work, put radius returns in, and then put the pedestrian ramps in and things like that. Primarily what we use that for. It's hard to pin me down right now because we haven't gone out and calculated quantities and costs and everything to find out exactly what we can do and exactly where we can do it.
Thanks.
We'll keep on flipping through. If someone's got something they want on a hit or wish list, they can bring it up. The second page starts with 27 from grant improvements. A number of these are part of the South Beach Urban Renewal District. And the third, when we get WW, are basically waste water type projects. And so as we get to the WWs, those are various sewer projects that are proposed for this next year with the source of funds.
Come on, everybody loves wastewater.
The projects starting with ST are stormwater projects that are proposed in the next fiscal year. And some of these are continuation projects. The series of projects are water and distribution type projects. And we've got the discussion on Big Creek Dam coming up on the hit and wish list, so we can talk about that at that time.
Spencer, I got a question on the very last page 88. Are we there yet, or we're getting there?
Good enough.
Okay.
For me.
Can you just explain at the very bottom? You've got the total requirements by funds, 26 million, and then you have. So can you just explain what that separate 17.3 million is? You kind of separate those.
David's on page A8.
Right.
You kind of separated those two. I'm comparing that to page A9. Where the 17.3 million is the addition of the 9.1 and 8.2, right?
And I'm going to have Bob.
There's a subcomponent here.
Yeah, he did these final calculations. Yeah,
if you went to the basic budget.
Okay.
What this schedule is attempting to do is to show the water projects, wastewater projects, and then what projects are strictly in the capital projects for.
I see. Okay, that's why you did that.
Okay. Yeah, so if you go over to.
Okay.
Do you want to check the page?
No, I just was curious.
So if you look at the capital projects fund 601, you'll come down, the total requirements is the 17 million. And then in the 602 fund, The first of the water activity will be the 5.2 and the wastewater will be 2.4.
That's how you do it. Thanks.
So we believe that that's our connection. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to connect those two numbers. Okay.
And that would be the capital outlay projects that are proposed in the budget. If there's any questions, any additions to the hit and wish list from these that aren't on the existing hit and wish list, we can add those and discuss those as we go through that list. Otherwise, that completes our budget review.
Any questions? It's a little overwhelming. It's like, that's a lot of projects.
I have a question, Tim, I guess. Where in here does it have the thing where you're going to take the existing reservoirs and anchor them down with the large bolts, and that's like some of them have?
We don't have a seismic retrofit improvement this year because we didn't have the funds to do that yet.
I can't understand.
Yeah. We don't have a seismic retrofit for any of our water tanks this year because
well,
we didn't have
the first
funds.
Tank up from the water treatment plant coming south is a tank built in 78. Neither one of them has that done to them.
There's several tanks that are in that condition, and I'm hoping in the next several years to start one by one retrofitting those tanks to meet seismic standards. The two main tanks, the Smith tank on the back side of North of the Equina Head, we have some tanks that we actually have to do some repairs on first that are seismically stable, but they have some damage to them that we need to repair. So I'm guessing 3 to 5 years before we start that retrofit program.
Unless there's a grant program that you come across?
Unless there's a grant program or something that becomes available for us to be able to retrofit those tanks. Yeah.
Well, the dam you're so concerned about out there that failing, that believe me, that reservoir you got sitting up there where you're pumping through will fail before that dam does.
No, they certainly will.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah, they're sitting on a slab.
There was no earthquake thought about in those days.
We wouldn't be able to pump through it anyway because the AC pipe that goes to it would be destroyed.
Well, it could be, but I mean, I know the tank, but you could fix the pipe quite rapidly, but the tank itself could be saved if we would.
Our assumption is that the two main tanks would be gone, and we would simply, in the two reservoirs by the city hall, or by the city public workshop would be gone, the Smith tank would be gone, and we would hopefully still have the Equina Heights tank and the new tank in Sunny First Street and the tank in South Beach. And after an earthquake, you know, our water demand will drop considerably because I doubt that the fishing fleet and the Rogue and some of the other heavy water users will be operating, and then we'll have to adjust accordingly. I agree completely with you. I would like to retrofit those two Core 10 tanks. I think that they could be done with new slabs. It's just we don't have the funding quite yet.
Okay.
So, and Don, I guess if it was appropriate thing to do would be to take one of these capital projects off and replace it with the seismic upgrade that you want. If you wanted to make a motion to that effect, that's kind of where we would be.
Well, I don't know that much about the other projects. I was leaving it up to Tim, but
some of the projects that we have identified on here are actually projects to replace failing pump stations and failing infrastructure. Salmon Run pump station, as an example, is shown on here, Northeast 71st Street. We're proposing to install a new tank and a new pump station. The station's been regularly sliding downhill, and so we're having an awful hard time keeping the pump station even working. Every time we take one of the pumps out, we can't get it back in again because the whole pump station's twisted. And so the projects that we have identified in water particularly, with the exception of some of the completion stuff at the water plant, are to replace failing stuff that's broken and needs to be replaced because I just can't keep it running.
What was that pump station? I didn't understand.
The Salmon Run pump station on Northeast 71st Street. It's kind of down in a canyon. It was built, I think, in the early 90s. It feeds the neighborhood just off of Avery and the hill above 71st Street in the senior living community. Several years ago, we put the senior living community out of water for a couple weeks because the pump station failure.
Where are you? I'm way out north.
Yeah, way up north.
That's the
Ocean View.
By the Kensia Cassini Bridge.
Oh, yeah, that place. Yep. Okay, so you're talking about the pump station then just over next to that canyon.
That's correct, right?
Well, that whole canyon's sliding there, yeah.
Exactly right. that whole canyon's moving like crazy.
Yeah. It starts up there about where the road is. Yeah.
What I suggest is as issues like this come up that really are not, they are budget, but we're trying to stick within our budget, that as a budget committee, we put them in the, kind of a parking lot and say, this is a huge area of concern that we would like the council to continue to address, and that's the seismic upgrade of the water system.
Yeah, and that's what I'm glad you brought that up. If there are issues that are not, that you do not want to necessarily make a change in this budget, but are important to you, I'm going to be listing those kind of as a issue that we're looking at as we're going through our longer-term financial planning, you know, that we plan to embark on this year. So feel free to list those kinds of issues, and we'll incorporate that in. If you don't want to make a change to the proposed budget this year, but you feel it's still an important thing, sooner rather than later.
Now, I have another question. Were you going to completely replace that pump station that is sliding?
We're going to, yes, completely replace it and move it to a different location.
Okay, where are you moving it to?
It's going to be right next to the tank at the end of Northeast 71st Street. So there's an area prepared for the tank on the end of Northeast 71st Street, past where the city has its yard. And the pump station and the tank will both be located in the same site. It's outside of all active slide areas. It's still within the pressure zone.
That's and the new tank we're going to build by Iron Mountain.
Yeah, right. Yep, the road up to Iron Mountain. Exactly right. Yep.
All right.
Okay, any other questions on the capital outlay projects under tab? Okay, we're on to review of the fund balance policy.
Okay, under in your book, under the tab B, attachment B, fund balance policy, we've included both the draft policy, in which I will request that the budget committee make a recommendation to the city commission at our final meeting. And I'll go through that quickly with you. We did a little summary of how the current budget would be impacted by this policy, and then a copy of the existing policy is attached in the book as well. And so what I'd like to do is just briefly go through the draft policy to make sure you understand what the components are. And under the definitions, there's basically three primary things that the policy addresses. First of all is the unappropriated ending fund balances. And these fund balances represent the remaining unappropriated funds after we get through with the budget process. So basically, the unappropriated ending fund balances of each of the funds are funds that could not be spent unless there was a declared emergency by the city council, and then that's the only time that you can spend in the fund balance. So basically, those funds are reserved for the year. The second category of funds are contingencies. And contingencies are set up to provide a source of funds in the event that there are unanticipated activities that occur in the course of the fiscal year. Then the city council can appropriate funds from the contingency to fund that unanticipated item. So again, contingencies have the ability to be appropriated by the council, but they can't be spent unless the council appropriates them through the course of the fiscal year. The third group that's covered here are the fund reserves. And the fund reserves are something that that we have recently set up in their own home accounts. We've got some fire reserves, we've got some police reserves, and library reserve established. But basically, when funds are parked in a reserve fund, they're there for a special purpose. And this is a good way to fund very expensive equipment by putting so much money in on a scheduled basis, so that by the time it's time to replace that equipment, you can spend that money. It's going to take us a while to get the horse in front of the cart here on that, but that's something that I think we want to work towards in the future in order to make sure that we are setting aside funding for needs that we know that are going to be coming forward as far as future equipment and other types of needs. So those are the three types of funds that this policy covers. Under calculating the funding levels, our old policy had about a fairly extensive formula that you could interpret several ways. We've simplified that in this process, and we're just using for calculating the fund balances the basis of the expenditures, including debt payments, less any transfers for capital outlay items. So basically, our operating expenditures plus the transfers that are made by those funds for operating purposes and other funds. So that's our baseline for calculating the fund balances. And Bob and I went through this process, what our recommendation is on the fund balance criteria, as you can see under 3.2, the general fund is the city's primary operating fund. And the policy as recommended would have a range of 15% to 20%. That would be an appropriate ending fund balance calculated as outlined here before. And on the second column would be the contingencies, and that would be a 3% contingency in this fund. For self-supporting funds, and they're listed below, those are basically funds that have a source of funds outside the general fund such as the street funds or water and sewer funds, and they would have a unappropriated ending fund balance somewhere between 20% and 8% for those types of funds with contingencies of 10%. Typically, they're smaller funds. Yes, sir?
Could you explain the 25% issue in paragraph 3.1 where you have if the balance exceeds 25%?
In that paragraph,
a couple sentences there.
If you look, when we get to the, if I can explain that when we get to the next page, I'll do that then because there's a good example of that. And I'll explain it behind you. Okay. So again, funds supported by transfers, and that's primarily the Parks and Rec Fund, which is supported by the general fund and room tax fund. Primarily, it does generate some revenue, but the majority of funding comes from outside sources. And the airport fund, where majority of funding comes from outside sources. Those fund balances would have a balance between 0% and 20% because they're really an extension of the general fund in how they're funded. They'd have a contingency of 10%. And then the final next set of funds are development funds. And those are things like public parking, Agate Beach, the reserve fund for the landfill, proprietary capital projects funds. Basically, any of those fund balances would be held in contingency because, again, they're basically funds that are parked for a specific purpose. And during the course of the fiscal year, even if they aren't appropriated, the council could appropriate those funds if there was a project that came along that fit the needs of those funds. So, and then the final set group of funds are the debt retirement funds, and those are as required by the various bond issues that we have to make sure we have those reserves in place in those funds. So that's the proposed allocation of funds. The section 4 then indicates that if the fund balance falls below targeted goals, then what the policy is saying is that city administration will develop a proposed plan to bring back to the city council within 6 months after that condition is examined about how we're going to deal with that issue. And with the proposed budget that we have, that's the category we're in with the general fund specifically and a couple of the smaller funds as well. If this would be a lovely problem to have, but if the fund balance exceeds our targeted range, then we would in that given year, we could fund a one-time capital expenditure. We could make a commitment of funds to these reserves that we talked about. We could take other fiscally responsible actions in that fiscal year. In subsequent fiscal years, if we're collecting more revenue than we need, then obviously, we could look at reducing revenues or adding services depending on what the council wanted to do. So that's the, it's kind of like the oxygen mask dropping out of the plane in the unlikely event of having surplus funds. That would be the plan for that program.
Hank, I got a question. You never use the word supplemental budget, normal thing you do. How are you going to do that without the supplemental budget and all the advertising?
You what? Well, it depends on how much of the contingency would be appropriated, but if you reach the threshold that requires the notice requirements you'd have to follow all the, you have to follow all the standards.
You've got to follow ORS law and budgeting.
Yep. So you'd have to follow those standards to move it from contingency to
expenditures. You've got to go through stuff on the budget.
Yep. Yes.
Just a quick question on the 3.2 general fund. your unappropriated ending fund balance range. You indicate on page one that we can tap into that if the council declared an emergency. I guess my question is, our declaration of emergency has to be one of the reasons under state law to declare one.
Correct.
So I'm wondering, are we perhaps by only putting 2% in contingency, maybe confining ourselves a little bit during the fiscal year and maybe have a little bit more contingency with the understanding that we're not going to tap into it? Because my only concern is, what if the situation arises where we need the money, the contingency doesn't cover it, and we really don't have a situation where it's actually an emergency as required in the state law?
No, I think that's a good point. One of the things after we, and we'll go to the next page, which will show kind of where we're at,
yeah.
And we can have that discussion with the discussion we have on Ralph's on that next page. But it is an issue, because basically when we're talking about an emergency, we're talking about
big
earthquake, major stormwater emergency is declared where we have unanticipated expenditures where we have to use funds.
You just can't call it an emergency like we do when we try and make an ordinance effective, on a certain day. It's a different situation.
It's got to be a legitimate, true, major emergency. So that's something that we can explore. Ralph had earlier asked a question about the 25% restricted fund balance limit as far as calculation. Restricted fund balances would be included in these calculations for the fund balance. And if you look at under the general fund as an example, under the proposed budget that's before you, our calculation of our targeted fund balance for this budget would be $1,552,569. Of that amount, though, the $270 is the money from the Urban Renewal District for a specific purpose that can only be spent for that specific purpose. And in the proposed budget, it's not appropriated. And so from the standpoint of 25%, what we're saying that is that your reserves could not be more than 25% of your targeted fund balance limit. So you can use part of your reserves to calculate that, but it cannot exceed 25%. So if you look at the bottom range of the general fund on the on this attachment B, it shows $1,614,000. So basically, if you had reserves in excess of $400,000, then you'd have to raise that fund balance up with the unreserved funds that funds it. It's a little bit the Rubik's Cube-ish stuff in there, but I guess putting it in the extreme, if your fund balance was $1.6 million, you couldn't have $1 million in reserves. You'd have to have your fund balance higher, because 25% of the reserves could only be calculated in that calculation.
And if it was, how would then that be? I'm looking at your top of page two. You would then have to go through some mechanism to change that, correct?
Top of page two.
If it does exceed 25%,
right.
Then you have, can you just kind of say how that would then work?
Yeah, so again, if you could, if you were still within the 20% range, you could raise your fund balance would have to be higher than that $1.6 million. Say you had a $500,000 in reserves and you had a $1.6 million fund balance. Mm-hmm. The way you would address that would be to bring your fund balance closer to the 20%, because then you'd get that reserve amount to that 25% number.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but where are these figures coming from? Who says you can't be on 25%? Is this ORS?
No. This is the policy that we're looking at.
The policy of this tech?
Correct.
Why tie yourself up in knots over something when you don't need to?
Because the Council and Budget Committee wanted to. So,
there's an existing policy, Don, and I think what we're trying to do is simplify the existing policy and make more sense.
And it does make, for several reasons, it's good to have a policy. One is it does provide guidance to city administration, to the budget committee, and to the council, so that you can see if things are getting out of line one way or another. You got something to measure that by.
And you should live so long to have that kind of a.
It would be a wonderful problem to have, but anyway, that's uh, that's one of the issues that can occur. Secondly, when we go out for bonding, when Standards and Poor's reviews the city's ability to pay things, that's one of the first things they look for, is there a policy that's been adopted that governs those expenditures, and that gives you 2 points in their calculation of what the bond rating is for the community. So that's it's a good thing to have.
Cash in the bank is what they really look at.
Right. But again, the and cash in the bank is the most important one. But though they're getting more finicky after the big crash, so they have tightened the screws and they're looking for these issues. So anyway, this is something I just wanted to present to you tonight. We'll have this on the agenda for the last meeting for a recommendation to the City Council. I made a note of your comments, David, on the 2%.
I think that could be an important issue to address.
Right.
So this is something that is a budget committee we have to recommend to City Council, since it's a council policy, but we will be looking for a motion next week. So if there's something, say, David, you want to change in this.
We'll take a look at that. We'll provide a little report on that for you for the next meeting. So
I think.
Could they change that policy at any meeting they want to call?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the policy is just
right. It's just us saying that this looks good. Yeah. So
there was a policy last year that wasn't observed. So
we have a policy, we're not abiding by.
Right.
Okay, are we ready for the hit and wish list. The hit list. These are all the issues that came up during last week's meeting. Those of you who were not here, these are where we had the committee had questions. Some of them are directly affecting the budget. Some of them are informational. To keep this moving along, we'll just take them in order. If there's an issue that does affect the budget and somebody wants to either increase, decrease, cut, I will entertain a motion for that and we'll vote as we go. I would remind you that we are already spending more than we make. So I would suggest that we try to be fairly frugal, and we will park if there are issues that come up, like the seismic upgrades that we know are important, or other things that are projects that we really would like to do that maybe we just can't afford this year. But Spencer's taking a note on those. I will also note them. Yes.
The one thing that I wanted to point out before we start this list, basically the budget as proposed has a... an unencumbered fund balance we're estimating on July 1st of $1,966,000 in the general fund. The proposed budget already as set up will spend that down to $1,281,000 for the year. So the expenses are exceeding revenues by $684,000 in the proposed budget. Now,
$684,000
in the proposed budget.
$684,000,
in the general fund.
Okay.
The issue, and if you look at the previous budgeted levels, and if you look at expenditures, typically our departments are budgeting some contingency amounts in a number of the line items. So typically we end up stronger than what we have budgeted. This year we're well above what was budgeted. I don't think we'll be that. Have that situation this year, but so we're starting off this review in a based on the proposed expenditures and the proposed revenues. The expenditures are exceeding revenues in the general fund by 684. Now, if you look on the sheets that are like this, and if you go to the end of the sheets, if you look on the second to the last page. It's a summary of changes by fund, and the last page is summary of corrections by fund, but I want you to take a look at summary of changes by fund. And this goes through, and if you look at the first one, it's fund 101. So is everyone with me where it says $1,092,251? So if if we approved everything on the hit and wish list, then we would be spending another $1 million. That would be the net difference between lost revenues and increases of expenditures. So if we approved everything that came up last time, that would bring our fund balance down to $189,000. So we obviously can't approve everything that was on that list. Now the second column, if you look on the other side, these are the total of things that either increased revenues or decreased expenses. And they're in the general fund on the hit and wish list. Again, this is where we had specific dollar amounts that would improve the fund balance by $130,000. So that's just so that you understand going into this discussion, you know, what the impact of these decisions would be on the fund. The other thing, what I would suggest, if you take these sheets out of your book and use them kind of as your scorecard, and then go through the narrative sheets, it's probably the best way to work our way through the budget. So the next batch is the actual description of the various funds. So that was tips, I guess, for working our way through this.
Okay, so we'll start in on the first issue that came up was the fees and dues of franchise fees. Ralph.
Okay, I brought that up, and I think David wanted to speak to that also.
Well, just, yeah, just the task force really did focus on that. Yeah,
that was an issue that was discussed in the task force, and the way I see that and the way I came out of the task force with that was that one of the suggestions for funding infrastructure improvements was in addition to things that add expense to the taxpayer, in other words, things like bonding as or and or raising fees and that sort of thing, actually amounts to almost everything except grants, was to in fact reduce services to help pay for that. In other words, get rid of the library so we can have a new water pipe kind of idea. Ted's not here, so I can say that.
I can't say that.
But, no.
I'm just
I have my pen out.
I'm just using that as a over-the-top example. But the idea would be to reduce services to help pay for that infrastructure development. And in doing that, it became obvious that one of the things that happens is, you all know that the fee in lieu of franchise fees is actually money that's taken away from water and wastewater and put in the general fund, as it were. So if we stop that, that was an easy way to accomplish what I was just talking about. And hence, that's where that came from. And so my recommendation is that we do suffer a little bit on the services. And yes, I recognize that takes $383,000 away from the general fund. And that's $383,000 of things that come out of the general fund that we couldn't do. But that money would be used for infrastructure improvements, and it would not be an additional cost to the taxpayer like all the other solutions are, which are bonding and fee increases and that sort of thing. So when we're ready, I will make a motion to that effect. I know it wasn't particularly popular in the infrastructure committee, but I think it's worth taking a vote.
So, Ralph, you've thrown bonding out completely.
No. This is we're talking a tremendous amount more. This would amount to 5% or something, or 10%. It's not a huge amount of the total infrastructure improvement. In this case, it's $383,000, and we're looking at what? $3 million. So it's that's what it amounts to.
Other question?
Hey,
so, Bob, my question. So, this question for you, Bob. After the task force recommendation, you actually did come up with a scenario which is decreasing the water and sewer rates to much less than what they were being increased previous years. If we were to keep the fee in lieu of franchise fee in the water and sewer funds, how much more would that impact the water rates as far as decreasing them even further?
Actually, barely.
Barely?
Well, it seems like
the problem we're really talking about in terms of that cut is the longevity of the cut. See, you're not just talking about this one year, you're talking about subsequent years, and then your impact to the general fund is going to be horrendous.
So my question, I guess, is you came up with some options that I think address a lot of our concerns.
It might drop 1%, okay. But that's about the max that it would drop.
Okay. If you extend it every single right. year, one time hits, not going to impact anything.
By not putting this money, by not keeping this money in the water and sewer funds, are we, in essence, delaying to some extent some projects that could be done sooner rather than later because there would be more money available?
Based upon what I've seen and proposed, I'd say that answer would be no. We wouldn't be delaying anything. But it's possible there may be some things I don't know about. But okay. Based upon the knowledge that I have, we wouldn't be delaying anything.
So, okay. So, just before, this is my last point, before we move on to someone else who wants to bring this up. At the task force, and basically when I was first on the council 10 years ago, this issue of fee in lieu of franchise fee was something that many cities incorporated because of the constraints of revenue coming in. So basically it was the ability for cities to move money out of the water and sewer fund into the general fund. And that's money on top of what already is going into the general fund for services provided by the general fund. So about 10 years ago, back in 2002-03, the city council, on the recommendation of the city management, decided, well, we're going to need to take more money out of the water and sewer fund and put it into the general fund, not because there's really a necessity for it as far as the city utilities being utilized. I mean, it's basically, it was a fiction to create more money for the general fund. And the cities realized that, but it was something that legally could be done. I guess the question I have is that really sound policy, or should we really rethink that issue? Because 12 years ago, or prior to 12 years ago, we were not doing it, nor was any other city.
Good. Tim wanted to make a comment, and then Spencer.
Based on the direction
can't
of
hear
the
you, Tim.
I'm sorry. Based on the direction of the infrastructure task force, you know, I get David's point exactly. If you didn't have the fee in lieu fee, or if you didn't have that fee in lieu of, that money in theory would stay in those funds and could be used for whatever the water or sewer fund would need those funds for. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But based on the recommendation of the infrastructure task force, the methodology by which we're implementing water projects is being driven by a revenue bond now. And so the fee increases that are proposed over the next several years are to maintain whatever cash balance we need to maintain and to fund infrastructure projects of a certain value every year for basically forever. And you just essentially keep rolling over a revenue bond and you adjust your rates accordingly to meet your debt service. So we are quickly reaching a point where I don't have the staff to implement a lot of projects more than what I can do now because the funding of my projects is exceeding my capacity in terms of staff. And so I can do about 1.5 million projects a year on an annual basis. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but I don't have capacity at a certain point. And so we're almost a little bit beyond that to the point where I don't have the ability to build that fast anymore. And so it partially takes away the need for ensuring that cash stays in the water and the wastewater fund on a yearly basis.
Okay, that helps.
Spencer?
Can I say something?
Spencer was, and then Don.
Okay. Just on the issue of the either payment in lieu of taxes or a payment in lieu of franchise as we have here, basically every utility system I've ever worked with had that same structure. Maybe Michigan was ahead of the times, but in my 30 years, there's always been a payment in lieu of taxes, typically, in addition to service fees for the general fund in systems I've worked with in the past. So it's certainly not something that looks unusual to me. It's very normal in what I've seen in utility accounting in other systems. So,
Don? Yeah.
Okay, but you got to go back to the history of your tax base. In 1985, that was set up to operate all of your offices, the city manager's office, all the way down through finance, the fire, the police, and it covered all of them with extra money. It increased every year to keep up with that. But you had the state of Oregon, in all its wisdom, told Mr. Sasaki that he had $53 million to spend, so he built a recreation center, and it has like 40-some employees over there, and you're funding it at a $750 million deficit. And if you look at the 2002 when you thought about, that's the year it opened. So it just, exactly.
I was there.
That's what caused it.
I was there.
It's not because it's a national, Portland's voting on a issue right today is the reason the citizens of Portland are fed up with the council taking their money out of their services down there and going over into general fund and making their fun and games things. I mean, you just can't run that game all the time on the people. They finally wise up.
So on that note, I would entertain a motion. Does anybody want to make a motion, Brock?
Okay, I move that remove the payment of fees and new franchise fees from the water and wastewater funds for the general fund.
I'll second that.
Can we have some discussion?
We could. I want to keep the discussion brief because we've already had pretty good discussion.
Well, this is a discussion on the motion.
Okay.
I'm not going to vote in favor of the motion, but I would vote in favor of a motion that would be a little bit different. So maybe I can make an alternative motion after we see how this motion plays out.
Okay. I will.
I would like to hear what your amendment is. Are you talking amendment? Or
well, my motion would be maybe to amend the motion to say that rather than saying this year, fiscal year coming up, we're going to do it, I'd like to see a recommendation coming from the Budget Committee to say that not this upcoming fiscal year, but when Spencer prepares the budget after this for fiscal year 15-16, we really start looking at this and actually start perhaps slowly but surely starting to decrease that amount. So it's not an all or nothing sudden impact, but it's an impact that maybe can be utilized over time and maybe reach our goal in 5 to 7 years rather than next year.
Can I talk to that point, too?
Sure, Don.
I'm not going to take propane. I don't see any reason to do it this year. We're so far into this budget.
Yes.
But I see no reason why a citizen-owned water system and a citizen-owned sewer system, because the council can do it, can just keep raising their fees that they keep and put it on top of it to do things that they built something, they had no idea how they're going to run it. You just got a brand new bond issue out there for the man that's going to build a swimming pool, and he got a clue how he's going to operate it. And he may look at you and say, no, I'm going to run with the present pool. It ain't going to work that way. He's going to have about three pools. He's going to have a lifeguard in every one of them. I mean, it just...
Okay, we're talking to the motion, Don.
I think that was supporting my amendment.
I'm going to
ask Ralph what he thinks about his amendment.
I suggest we vote on Ralph's motion, and then we'll entertain another motion.
Whatever works.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
So can you read the motion again? Is it forever or just this year?
Forever.
Starting this year.
The entire amount.
Forever not being defined.
So it's basically elimination of the fee in lieu of franchise fee being
this year.
Not being transferred to the general fund, staying within the water and wastewater funds.
Yes.
All those in favor, please raise your hand.
I'll go with Ralph.
I'm going to do it.
All opposed?
Only because.
So it's 8-4.
Abstaining?
8-5. No, there's
4
things.
So
it's
8.
Some of them.
8-5. Everybody. Sorry. Let's try this again. Everybody voting in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Five.
All those opposing the motion? The motion failed. David, did you want to propose a different
motion? Yeah, so. Five. It was 5-9. So, what I'd like to do is make a motion that would be to the fact that the Budget Committee. Not directs, but recommends to the city manager and the council that starting in fiscal year 2015-16 for the proposed budget, that there starts to be a reduction in the amount that is being utilized as a fee in lieu of franchise fee, and that reduction continues over a period of time, maybe 5 to 7 years, but that can be determined at a later point, but at least the starting process.
Make your motion clean, dude.
Well, I'm making as clean as I can, Janet, so I guess we can reward it, but here's the gist of the motion. which I just stated, which is to start the process next year with a recommendation and let the council sort it out as part of that process, which could be 5 to 7 years.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion on that?
Seconded.
Any discussion on Mark?
So I'm assuming if we vote for this, as you said, there would be some effort made to guide us in what those potential reductions would be and what they would mean, and whether we should do it over 5 years or 7 years or 3 years or 2 years.
That was the sense I got.
Yeah, the council would have wanted. The council
really were just sort of setting up a kind of a research project.
For the council to take, the council should would be taking this on before the next budget is prepared for next fiscal year.
All right, thanks.
One after this.
Any other comments? All those in favor of the motion, say aye. Raise your hand. We have a hard time counting here, so. All opposed? The ayes have it. Thanks. Well, that was nice and speedy. We only have 61 more to go. So.
Some of these will be a little shorter.
Yes. Yeah. Number three.
You said 8:30
and 6:30. No, I just said, I determined. I learned from the pro here. Rents and leases. Yes.
And that was the detail that was requested.
And that was mine, and that was fine. Number four was election services. This is very straightforward. I recommend a motion from somebody to reduce this expenditure.
I make a motion that we remove election services to the $20,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Who's second?
Chuck.
Did you say remove? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor,
aye.
Raise your
aye.
Hand.
Oh, raise your hand.
I'm not one. Well,
who's counting?
Sorry. Linda's counting. Yeah.
So, what are you two doing?
All those in favor, raise your hand.
Yeah, everyone raise your hand so we can get a count. So. This is elimination of the 5,000 that was duplicated.
In number four. Yes.
Oh, this was duplication.
Yeah. All opposed?
Okay.
All lost?
14-0. Yeah.
That was a yes.
David Allen voted yes for that, even though it was an election.
He was.
What?
Number five.
What's he mumbling over there?
He's mumbling. Number five is legal services. Again, this was informational. Any other more discussion on that? We had a reduction. I thought that was good. Number six, I will need a motion on this one. It was adding a part-time position. As Spencer says in this discussion, his recommendation is not to add that position, but the timing was not quite right, and that's what the IT director agreed. So I would.
The IT director agreed that the timing was not quite right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So this would have been an increase. I would entertain a motion to retain the budget line.
I don't think you need a motion if you leave it the same.
Okay.
I think the only time you have to make a motion is if you're going to change.
So does anybody want to make a motion to add this position?
Which one?
Hearing none, we're on to
this number six.
We went quickly through number five because I actually did have a question on that.
I couldn't believe you let that go.
That was Janet's going very quickly.
Okay, so.
That's okay. My question, Spencer, wasn't whether we were going to put it together. I just wanted to know what the overall number was.
Attachment.
But you didn't put in there, so maybe we can.
Schedules in the attachment.
Attachment five.
Okay.
Yep. Look at attachment five. We got it broken down by every fund and by every vendor.
Well, I've got. Okay. Well, that's all I had. Okay. Good. That's it.
Okay. It is there, and it was less stated. Number seven was informational. It was that we saw cell phone usage popping up in a lot of lines. It kind of relates to the voiceover and just where we are with that utility. Any additional question on that?
Well, I'm the one that brought it up, and I don't know where attachment seven is at. I haven't had a chance. Or what is it, attachment?
Yeah, if you look under tab C3. And there's handwritten in the corners are the supporting materials.
Cell phone. Yeah, Verizon, so wireless.
That's it. There'll be a number, which is the number of the issue, and then
Yeah. And just for information, like this one is on two pages. The first page is number 7, and then if you see a 7 plus, look ahead because that means there's other pages ahead. So this is a breakdown of the cell phone expenses by department.
Yes, Mr. Busby.
That was one of the items that I listed in that email you all got that showed the percentages that exceeded 8%. And I'm going to wait till the end when we get to the one that talks about that list. However, cell phones is an example. It went up 16%, but it kind of listed everything we have today. Why is it going up 16%?
Okay, so we'll ask that question.
And that applies to a lot of them. But what I want to do in the end, just so you know, is make a motion that we reduce all of these items that are, let's call them supplies and maintenance, that's, you know, clothing, tools, and all that, that don't have a specific item or items to increase them, that they be reduced to a normal escalation figure.
Okay, that will be coming up.
And I will make that toward the end.
Okay. Number 8 was dealing with new police positions. The current draft budget has no new positions. The police department did request 3 additional positions, and at this time the city manager had recommended no new positions. Do we have discussion or a motion to increase? I would remember each position costs us about $92,000.
I brought the issue up, so I'm not going to make the motion, but I'd like to ask Spencer, I know police chief is here. Spencer, you anticipate not this next fiscal year, but perhaps in fiscal year 15, 16, or beyond, there perhaps would be a revisiting of adding additional police officer positions, or is this pretty much the way it's going to be probably for the foreseeable future?
Well, it takes money to fund all these positions.
Right, right.
And if we're going to reduce our subsidy from the water fund to the general fund, the general fund expenditure, I don't see, but one of the things that hasn't been done yet, which I have indicated I want to do coming up in the first 6 months of this next fiscal year, is to really do some longer term projections. Take a look at what our growth rate is on our revenues, take a look at what our growth rate is on our expenditures. And I think what we're going to find is that if we don't do something, we're going to have serious financial issues in the future. We're going down that path now, and we can't continue to fund things where we don't have money to pay for. And so I don't want to make any promises to anyone just by delaying the discussion today that next year everything's going to be all better.
Sure.
Because the reality is we're spending more money than we're taking
sure.
in. And so from that standpoint, what I do want to do is really have a very thorough discussion at a staff level, and then present that information to the city council, and then get some public input in a process that would really kind of identify, you know, are there some things that we're doing today that we shouldn't be doing, you know, in the long-term future? Are there some things that we should be doing more of in the long-term future? And that's the type of discussions we're going to have, because I don't see anything turning around in the next few years where we're going to have money coming in that we don't have now. And I see some of our the expenses that are more difficult to control, such as health coverage and retirement and all these things, going up much faster than the revenues that are going up. So it's not a happy story to say, but I think we can work our way through it, but we're going to have a strategy to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Number 9, vehicle maintenance.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought we were just dealing with the two full-time policemen.
Oh, I didn't hear anything. So I'm sorry. So Laura, yeah?
Well, I was moving on to the web media specialist. I wanted to know about that position. It's part-time, and it was evidently left.
That was one of the positions.
That was one of the, yeah, the one of the strong positions.
Okay, sorry. All right, I didn't realize it was divided out that way. All right.
So, okay.
Yep.
Number 9 was vehicle maintenance, and then the note, Spencer's notes that has already been reduced. I don't know if that shows up in your list or not.
Yeah.
So it might come up. If we cut this more, there'll probably be a balance at the end of that, but I think the recommendation is just to keep it as is for now. 10 and 11 was the voice over internet and telephone schedules that kind of rolls into the cell phone, so I think that might come up at the end.
12 was central dispatch. That was an informational note. Any conversation on that? I'm sure this comes up at council because this is an ongoing monitoring of that, of how that service is working. 13, police department computer equipment acquisition. This was a request for additional equipment, and if the some of the equipment was funded, some was not. If you wanted to fund all of the equipment requests, that would be an additional $15,000. Questions?
My question is, how can you fund part of it, not fund part of it, and have an adequately working system, I guess?
Yeah, in the request from the departments, one of the things we do, well, we know that we can't fund everything that they're requesting, we prioritize. The biggest priority was the record system, which is a real problem for the police department. That's an $80,000 expenditure that was funded. We also funded the ICOP server issue because we've had some record issues, and there's been some discussion on that more recently. These other items were you know, the lower priorities of the department. Still a priority, but we weren't in a position to fund everything, and so we picked the two that seemed to be the most urgent issues for this next coming year. I understand from a city manager standpoint, putting together a budget is not a fun process. And I'd like to make everybody happy, but there's absolutely no way that I can do that, particularly during financially tight times.
Is there an eye towards trying to get that $58,000 in next year?
I'm sure if it's priority for the police chief next year, he'll request it, and it'll be depending on what else are priorities at that particular time. So,
the two items were a body-worn camera and electronic citations program, so they were distinct pieces.
The benefit to the electronic citation, the officer can give it to you real quick. He gets a call while he's writing you, he can't write you the ticket.
Oh, wow.
Sounds good.
And those are good requests. Don't misunderstand that. We just don't have the funds to do everything everybody wants. So.
Number 14 was adding the two firefighter positions. And I believe in our original first book, we had a letter from Chief Page discussing the need for those positions. At this point, the city manager was not recommending adding those for this fiscal year.
You couldn't just split it into one firefighter position?
Actually, there were a number of options outlined in, I'm not sure which the attachment is, but
14.
Yeah, if you look under the green tab, it's attachment 14. There's a report from the fire chief on various options. So again, look under the green tab, look for the number 14 up in the right-hand corner.
If you look at those options A through F, my recommendation was option C, which would have $23,000 to this year's budget and combine a one firefighter position that the way our contract with the IAFF reads, we have a new position that's firefighter, which is below engineer and captain. The next engineer position that we replace, or captain position that we replace, actually engineer position, we can replace with the firefighter position, which is a lower cost. So for the cost of a firefighter position, this proposal would have that person be half-time. The next item, which was the half-time emergency management coordinator, this would combine an emergency management coordinator with the fire prevention position. So that's the $23,000 there. So I tried to throw kind of a menu out there in case you wanted to consider other options. And again, Spencer is not recommending, he's recommending option A, obviously.
So can, as part of this discussion, we address the option C for the half-time
firefighter and a half-time emergency operations manager? Because I was hunting for the emergency operations manager or coordinator, whatever you want to call it, to get our emergency operations plan for the city in better shape. It's got pieces all over, and it's like a quilt with pieces cut out and nothing sewn together yet. And from the research I did and talking to Rob Murphy and to Sergeant, I can never get his name right. Thank you. we have some big serious holes in our plan, and our book has to be updated. We're behind a little bit there. Patricia?
I have a question, and I don't know where this leads into it, and I don't know if the option covers it, but in your letter somewhere in a book I read, and you spoke about the calls for ambulance. Apparently when the county runs out of ambulances or whatever, you guys have to respond to the call if somebody...
We respond to those calls anyway. That was another funding request, which was to... We've got a rescue unit that could be licensed as an ambulance.
Okay.
It would require about $10,000 worth of
that equipment. Doesn't fall under option C, does it?
No.
That's
no.
Totally. Okay. You got a lot of acronyms there, so I wasn't sure which one.
Sorry.
I think that'd also be a revenue source.
It could be, but that would not happen in this fiscal year. That would have to go to the county. And
the options that you're laying out, are those for a full year or are they for a partial year?
The bottom line there is for a partial year. Our staffing is kind of convoluted this year because I'll be leaving, unfortunately, right after this budget process. So we've got kind of a convoluted plan where Rob will become the interim fire chief for the first 6 months of the new fiscal year, and that saves a chunk of money that could go towards funding a lower cost firefighter position. Actually, we could probably fund a firefighter position for the whole year with what we're saving. The problem that Spencer's concerned, and I would share it if I were in his position, I share it anyway, is what happens after that first year. If we don't get a safer grant or something like that, then we're in a position of having to eliminate a cutback. So
if we're looking at your sheet, we really should be looking at the cost of wages and benefits as the true cost of those positions rather than the bottom line, which is...
Yeah, that just looks at this budget here.
The one I'd like to put to that is that we do anticipate between one and two retirements in the next 2 years. And those are, one's a captain level position, one's a senior top step engineer position. Those will be replaced by step one firefighters at a much reduced cost.
So you're advocating for option C, is that?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm gonna make a motion. And I don't know how to word it, but I like option C. I don't know if it's gonna get any traction. I don't know exactly the amounts that we're talking about. It looks like you said it's a cost savings of, is it $20,000 difference?
Option C is adding one relief engineer at impact on this year's, on the 2014-2015 budget, if I'm reading your table right, of $23,424.
Okay.
Yeah, technically it's adding one firefighter position.
Yes.
And that firefighter position
would
replace a current engineer position, and we've got engineer Chris Rampley he's trained in the emergency management side of it, and he's trained in the fire prevention side.
Spencer?
Okay, so this should be a mechanical expense going forward because of the retirement convention.
This
is managing
the expense would be the same. The difference is you wouldn't have the savings of my position being vacant for half the year, which is part of what helps fund this. You would have savings in overtime and some of the other areas that.
But if C is the option, we are talking about a half-time relief engineer and a half-time emergency operations.
It's hiring one new firefighter.
Did we have a second to Patricia's motion?
I think it's under discussion.
Well, did we have a second?
No.
I'll second it.
Okay. So, Ben, Spencer.
Yeah, I think, again, the one thing I've got to really warn the Budget Committee and warn the City Council I don't know where you're getting the money to pay for these positions, because in the first year, it's an incremental increase, but once we make that commitment, that's a substantial increase going forward. If you look, if you had your budget open, if you look on page 21, just in the years of budget on salary for the fire department, we've gone from $531,000 to $800,000 in 3 years. This is one department that has seen substantial increases in staffing, and it's all valid. It's a good stuff. But until there's more support that we can earmark for fire from sources that I believe have to come from beyond Newport, I can't see how you can support that level of work. You know, we've got a lot of needs in the city. We aren't fixing our buildings. We aren't buying equipment. We aren't doing anything else. I can't see how you can add staff. You know, I mean, I just honestly can't see how you can do that.
Discussion mode here.
So I guess my question was, could this position, you know, partially funded by your retirement, but could it be kind of looked at as an advanced replacement for one of the other two people you mentioned you expect to retire in the next year or two? So,
well, that, I'll say yes and no. As Rob alluded, we don't have a formal letter from anybody saying they're going to retire, but we do have indication from one captain who plans to retire next June and one engineer who plans to retire, probably when his wife will let him. But so, you know, your option would be, if one of those retirements comes up, leave that position vacant, and that would bring you right back to where we are, which doesn't, I mean, in the short term, it would help us get our emergency operations plan up and running. Some things like that. It would also help Rob, who is not going to be spending much time on fire prevention programs, as he'll be interim chief. So it would help you for the year. Now the problem would be if everybody decides, no, I love it here too much, and I'm not going to retire. There's not a guarantee.
Well, David had a question.
I'm just going to say that I'm as much as these are valid requests, I'm uncomfortable adding anything at this point, because on a previous motion, I basically supported trying to reduce the general fund because of the fee in lieu of franchise fee. And that, to me, I guess, is my commitment, the reduction before the adding. And
it's not too late to change your mind, though.
Yeah. No. Well, I guess at this point, I'm comfortable with that decision, but we can't do both. So I've made that commitment, at least for the near future.
I'll take one more comment, and then I wanted to have a vote on this. But Laura?
My concern after looking into the emergency operation manager or coordinator or whatever is that we are going to get so far behind because the job has outgrown the time the two gentlemen that are working with it now have. Because they're full-time on their regular jobs, and they're trying to get the emergency operations situation settled and going, and we need somebody dedicated to it, to even write grants to get money to do some of this stuff, to make sure all of the record-keeping is done, to make sure all the staff is trained appropriately, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. I would just point out, right now we're talking about a firefighter position. 15 is the emergency management coordinator, so I'm just
looking
at that. Yeah, the only thing is they've got merged together with the alternatives that...
Yeah. Okay.
But I think option C was just the...
That was actually that was addressed both.
Okay.
Option C.
It does it itself, sorry. Yes, Ralph, and then we'll have a motion.
Okay, my comment is simply that we, of course, have another 40 items to go through here, and we have the opportunity to gain back some funding as we do that. And I'd like to make sure we have the opportunity to revisit some of these that we may turn down up front after we find some money in the back.
I would suggest that we would have that opportunity at the next budget meeting, too. So I'd like to have a vote on the motion, which was to...
was the motion seconded?
Yes.
Which
was to adopt option C, which is adding a full-time firefighter, if I get this right, and a 0.5 emergency manager.
But it's one FTE.
One FTE
that would split their time.
The total overtime exceeded.
So all those in favor, raise your hand.
Dick?
What's...
All those in favor of... All those in favor of adding the positions, raise your hand. All those opposed? And I have this down to revisit, and in particular Laura's concern about emergency operations. Thank you. Let's take like a 5 minute break.
Before we do that, can I just say one thing? One of the things too that I'm listing as we go through here for our longer term discussions are what you're identifying as significant needs going forward. Because I agree there's some, you know, there's holes that we have in emergency management. There's holes we have in a lot of parts of this organization. But we really need to look at all these things together and just determine what direction we need to go as a comprehensive thing. And it's easy to look at any individual piece, but let's look at the entire organization as we can, you know, make some mistakes going forward. But I'm listing these items, and I think these are going to make up the laundry list of items that we want to approach as part of a more long-term sustainability discussion during the first 6 months of this next fiscal year.
Okay, we'll take a short break so people can stretch their legs. I will gal those back in 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Somebody else gets up stiff.
Without any experience. That's really what you need to do.
Mark.
You know, my opinion, I'd rather have that discussion. I think I always recommend a company look at it. So let's do this.
I'll send you notes and add to it.
My question on PERS was, were we funding?
Mm-hmm.
Are we
the answer is yes.
Okay, there you go.
18 was the fire grant line item. I think it was just information about where grants were coming from. 19, another one on grants, which ones have been applied for, which haven't, and those are in your supplemental under item 19. 20, liability insurance. There was a question about why there was an increase. I think that was set in your hit list.
That was part of my hit list. Okay. I don't think I asked the question, but I noticed it was up 12%, which seems like a lot. But I realize there's not a lot we can do about it either.
And I looked at the supplemental information to see if there's a, we can look at that. 21 was the small tools and equipment purchases, Ralph's favorite.
I'll talk about that later.
Okay. I think the one on the library membership dues is explained. That's the membership in the consortium. 23 was a general comment about adding money for beautification effort throughout the community.
I had a thought on that. Mm-hmm. That was the comment that I made. And it says we're supporting the at historic levels with the 2.5 employees. When we have a city that's tourist-oriented, we have a lot of areas where the tourists come through, it seems like there would be some room for hiring one more or some summer help to basically cut the weeds along the sidewalks to make a concerted effort during the time when we have a lot of visitors here to go out and just kind of take the edge off. If the historic level that's being funded again is applied the same way, I think we all know that there's room for improvement there, but I'm recommending a real targeted approach to the main thoroughfares in the city, thinking that the visitors really need to have a good experience.
So would you make... Mr. Grove, want to make a motion?
It would be maybe helpful to let him know how we staff the park department. We normally have two temporary employees that we hire through the duration of the summer, in addition to the 2.5 FTEs that we operate as a normal staff. We don't maintain road rights of way at all. That's a responsibility of the adjacent property owners.
If they neglect their responsibilities, I think we have a compliance officer that deals with that.
Usually it's on a complaint basis, though.
But I guess it would just be nice to have some targeted approach to our beautification that takes care of that. So if do you feel the compliance officer is not doing his job, is that why it looks bad?
No, I think that the people who live next to the road aren't doing their job. And it becomes a thing where the compliance officer doesn't have the time to chase after somebody if they don't pull their weeds or pull their lawn. I think that's really the morality of it. It's an overwhelming responsibility if you expect him to try and enforce some sort of education standard on all the multiple right-of-ways that we maintain in the city, in addition to the duties that he already has. And I think the chief would probably agree with that.
I agree with that. I think some of the vacant buildings and properties that are in distress don't have property owners that are taking that responsibility. So, I don't know, I just wanted to highlight the need for that. I'm not sure if there's a motion there other than if there's a couple extra dollars to put that way. But it sounds like maybe it's not appropriate based on what you just said.
Yeah. And I've got it on our list of bigger issues to deal with as we go into the fiscal year.
I don't disagree that I feel like we need more parks help. I don't necessarily think this is a good year to do that, and I want to make sure that we're directing that help at the appropriate type of activities versus something that maybe would be dealt with in a different fashion.
Okay. I was just going to ask Jim, I know that you had the park committee were going to try to solicit volunteers to take care of certain parks. How's that going?
I would say it's going marginal to poor.
Marginal.
And the reason it is such is because great volunteers are only great in the beginning of their volunteerism. And as time goes on, usually the motivation drops off. And so you can do great for two to three times. And then after that, unless there's an organization with lots of people to draw from and their name, so to speak, attached to it, we have had little to no success maintaining or sustaining the push of
to go.
Unless it's a neighborhood park, in which case we've had good experiences with a neighbor that has a vested interest because they live right next to or across the street, where they have chipped in when they see things. But
Literacy Park is maintained by the American Legion.
No,
Rotary
has a stake in Literacy Park. They was a volunteer effort that they created that, and then they will go and do a cleanup once or twice a year, and then get a barbecue and have some pride of improvement there. Also in Mombetsu Park, Rotary has had a strong interest in.
Those are two parks that seem to get the most activity.
And then the other thing on your question about distressed properties, that's where the community service officer can go. If you have a specific complaint, they can look into it to see if there's an ordinance violation.
Yeah.
Mark?
So I realize everyone will probably whine when I say this, but I'm just kind of curious whether city or the chamber or anyone's ever tried to do sort of like an educational program and why it's important for all of us, businesses, homeowners, whatever, to maintain the attractiveness, particularly along 101 thing. Part of why I bring that up is, believe it or not, just last week, I don't remember exactly which business it was, but there was somebody out there sitting on the curb with one of those little single weed thing that you only use for your dandelions, cleaning out all the weeds between the curb and the sidewalk. So
the chamber does recognize.
You know, there's one person out there that I've seen do it. I don't know if there's an effort we can make to get more people to do that or not.
Yeah. Businesses are recognized for their education efforts and they're awarded.
I understand that.
But it's not an educational program. It's a hey, thanks for doing your part.
Yeah, we do have a highway cleanup program once a month that from people to September. Our program is robust as we would like it to be.
Okay.
But there are certainly some efforts.
Well, it's good to hear about that happens. Maybe that's why that person was out there.
So moving along,
thank you.
It sounds this is an ongoing issue, but there's still funding right now. The 25 was the issue about Cheryl's sidewalks and bike paths. I think we talked about the sidewalks. There is a supplemental note about where the Cheryl's fall there into the street department.
Right. So just clarification, when we spoke about this item earlier, $15,000 for Nye Street sidewalks. That's the same $15,000 that under description part.
I don't know where the Nye Street sidewalks come from.
Well, whatever we were talking about, $15,000 you were talking about doing.
That was a discussion we had before.
That's the same $15,000 though, that's discussed in here. That identifies $6,000 for Cheryl.
No.
Cheryl's going to be a friend of the source funds.
Okay. And that's the clarification I wanted.
And it's in that supplemental note on it.
Yeah, because I was reading it there, and look, it's just coincidental that they're both $15,000.
No, we have $15,000 for doing sidewalk improvements.
Right.
And then we're going to spend $6,000 out of the street fund by Cheryl's district.
Okay, but it's not part of that $15,000.
Not part of that $15,000.
And then the last question I have is I thought, does that $6,000 come? I thought I read at our last meeting that there was like $5,980 that was projected to come from the gas tax or something like that that was supposed to be dedicated to things like that.
Normally, a certain percentage, it's like 2.5% or 2% or 3%,
whatever
exactly what it is. And the gas tax, it needs to be used for bicycle and pedestrian-related improvements.
Okay.
We normally take a larger percentage of that, so $15,000 this year, and that's that project.
Great.
$6,000 is just general operations money out of the street fund.
Okay. That clarification, Tim.
Okay, and 26 was just a total that was missing. I think the next item will be have generate some more discussion about the planner position in public works. So you may want to discuss that, or are you okay with the recommendation? It was not to fill the senior planner position. Do I hear a motion from anybody to fill that?
Well, I would love to fill it, but I understand the shortage of money, but I just can't see with the new urban renewal and finishing the old urban renewal and all of the master plans and things that have to be done that we can actually afford to forego.
So I kind of gave Spencer a heads up of this question that I'm going to probably ask of him right now because, Derek, I read your memo, and I understand a lot of your needs are related to urban renewal. And my question to Spencer earlier today, because I think someone else brought it up, maybe even Don brought it up last meeting, was Don Davis. historically, the city manager has been very active in urban renewal projects. I mean, when Sam Sasaki was our city manager, and even when Don was our city manager, you know, there was an active role, and it seems like Derek has kind of taken over that role to some extent. And I'm wondering, maybe over the course of the next several years, Justin, do you think that as you know, kind of work through these issues, you would be more active in the urban renewal and the things that might alleviate to some extent some of those needs that Derek had? Because I think a lot of Derek's stuff is administrative, not necessarily a planning issue. And I'm wondering whether a lot of the time you're spending, Derek, on urban renewal generally is stuff that in the past has been done by the city manager, who was in the past, they were more active. I'm just trying to get a sense of whether we can do something without having to spend more money in the budget and kind of allocate those responsibilities. And Spencer, I asked you this earlier, so at least you can maybe put some thought into it.
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of time to put a whole lot of thought into it, but I think that certainly as I gain experience in Newport, I certainly anticipate working very closely with Derek on various urban renewal issues. I've got a pretty full plate. There's lots of organizational things that have to be taken care of here. So certainly I don't see me being able to spend an excessive amount of time in that area in this next year or so. But I think as time goes on, I obviously am going to be involved in the projects. I think Derek does a great job with that. One thing that Derek had mentioned to me also is that in putting together his budget, he removed some money in this year from professional services, about $20,000 from professional services, anticipating that there'd be another body in the mix. And so that was one of the issues that he had a concern about. If we don't fill this position, we might need to restore that money that was removed from the professional services line items.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
Yeah, I wish I had a better answer for you at this point, but I honestly can't really give you a good answer to that question, at this particular point. So.
Okay, well, that's good enough. Thanks.
I'll be brief, but to your question, David, it's a mix of administration and actual on-the-ground planning and working with folks. I mean, right now, when you're trying to bring projects to bear, there's a transition point between planning and public works. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I'm doing, you've seen this at the council in terms of getting rights way realigned and stuff like that, wouldn't fall on the administrative side. It's more of the project implementation side. Acquisition of properties, again, more of the project implementation, but there's certainly also the administrative side in terms of making sure that the plan is up to date and that there's public engagement anytime we're changing the plan, which we do regularly, and we should regularly, because these types of plans evolve, and we need to make changes accordingly, engage the public when we do that. So it's a combination of both.
And all I was saying is, in the past, city managers have been more active at that end of things, and I think Spencer will eventually. Right now, it looks like because of certain issues, you've pretty much taken that on yourself, primarily. So.
As somebody who serves on one of the volunteer committees, I do find that the department's understaffed in terms of working with those volunteer committees, like parking districts, even wayfinding, which I know is somewhere in between with the two departments. And so I would suggest to council that they need to look at how you are staffing your volunteer committees so they do feel that their input is worthwhile. And I think that's one thing that Derek did address in his letter too, that he just doesn't, there's nobody there to do it. Derek does it, but it doesn't get done the way I think he'd like to see it done.
And Janet, for the parking districts, that's actually one of the issues of discussion at an upcoming working session as far as staff involvement with the parking districts. So.
So I think that Spencer recognizes the need for that position, but given the budget, it was recommending no on that one for this year. Do I hear a motion to add it? Hearing no, we'll move on. 29 was information on professional services. 30, there was a question about why do we need a park system master plan. I'm not sure whose that was, so we want to talk to it. If we decided not to do that, that would be an elimination.
Is that mine you're talking about?
Yeah, number 30.
Yeah, number 30. Park system master plan. I don't see any reason why they need a master plan this year for tied up money. I mean, they got a swimming pool to build and a and they have no money to fund, how they're going to run the thing, or how they, but I just don't see why you keep picking on more projects. I mean, there's no reason to have all these master plans if you don't have funds to operate what you got. I mean, what you need a master plan for is how you're going to fund what you got.
Is there $60,000 in the budget for a parks master plan?
Correct. Spread in, I think, three separate accounts.
Well, but that, so it, maybe it isn't your money, but it comes out of your other pocket. I mean, it's...
No, it's city money that's allocated out. There's also a $25,000, I think it was $25,000 grant that we applied for.
I mean, we will. Derek is overworked, he says. So why have three or four master plans underway all the time just to see how much you can overwork? I mean, why do you keep doing things that you don't have the staff for, or then you don't have the money to do anything after you get the master plan? And before you have money to do the master plan, it's outdated and they want to do another master plan.
Derek?
Yes.
So now, just to fill you in, this is I think Patricia and Fred were on the task force. The master plan issue is something that recommended to the task force as something that needed to be, I guess, taken care of, and that recommendation came to the council and Spencer. So we've gone through a task force process regarding master plans. So the question is, for the budget committee, are we going to kind of stick with that momentum moving forward on those issues? Derek, you know, that's kind of what we did at the task force on the long-term recommendations for master plan development. So,
yeah, we with respect to the park system master plan, I think I outlined it in here. You know, we're talking about a 1993 park system master plan. It's over 20 years old. Yes. And the issue with facility plans is they're supposed to inform the city policymakers and ensure that policymakers who are making decisions in terms of investments in park system, be it maintenance of our existing facilities or development of new facilities, are pursuing those in a manner that's consistent with what the community wants. And if we haven't done a park system master plan in 20 years, we don't have a clue what the community wants with respect to park system development, needs, maintenance, any of that. We're just kind of shooting from the hip. And so, yes, it's a need, but also, again, too, yeah, we have airports, storm, and sewer also moving down the pipeline. All of those have to be addressed. Should they all be done at the same time? That's a heck of a strain on resources, not just my resources, but the resources of other city departments. That's something to keep in mind.
Okay.
Now, has this already been funded? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah,
it's in the budget.
It's in the budget.
If the council wanted to change that, then it would take a motion to change it.
And I will speak to that, and then I'd probably make the motion. We're talking about the tightness of everything right now. We don't know how much money is going to come in. It might be... we know how much is coming in, probably, but we're spending more than that. Even though this is an old plan, we got lots of sewer pipes and water pipes that are older than it is here. I think, in view of the tightness of money right now, I think this could probably be put off for a year or two. I think Mr. Davis makes a good point. Making more plans so we do more things, then we got to figure out how to pay for them. So I would make the motion that we eliminate that amount of money.
The park system master plan.
The park system master plan from the budget in total.
Second.
Tim, you wanted to make a comment?
You know, as a guy who's running park maintenance right now, observation.
I still can't hear you.
It's because you're right because they're right behind the park system.
Sorry. I run the park maintenance operations, and it's been my observation, especially with Coast Park as an example, that the demand for parks and the demand for the location of those parks is not what it was 20 years ago. We opened Coast Park as an example, and we can't maintain it fast enough. It sees just unbelievable use. Which shows me that we have an unbelievable demand for that type of park improvement in our community. We have several parks that we maintain on a regular basis that don't see a whole lot of use, frankly. And this park master plan will inform us and guide us on what types of parks we need, the location that those parks need to be in. I would also think it would talk about parks that we have currently that maybe we don't want to maintain anymore. And we don't have that guidance. It's very difficult for us to understand where to invest our dollars.
Now, I'm not necessarily disagreeing that it probably could wait a year, but it's one of those things that I think that is very necessary for us so we can make informed and educated decisions on how we spend our existing resources and how we spend our resources in the future.
Well, why did you need a master plan to build a playground you built down there? You built it.
That was started before I got here. I don't know if it was a master plan or not. And, but what you do with that is
you just got a grant to build a playground in your community.
And we may say that, oh my word, you know, the downtown area really needs three more parks of that nature, and the parks that we have on the north side of town see no demand or there's no development in that region, or it gives us guidance on how much park facilities we should have per capita in different regions so we can require developers as they come in to either build parks, dedicate funds toward parks, and we have a planning document adopted within our comprehensive plan that gives us the authority to do that. And so we're looking at, I think, a lot of development in the next 10 years, and I don't think we really have adequate resources to guide that development in developing park amenities for those improvements. And so that's a challenge, frankly.
So speaking in support of what Tim's saying, the way I understand it, I know we're tight on money, but I see a plan that's 23 years old, and it automatically makes me feel like it's been kicked down the road a number of times already, where it wouldn't be 23 years old. But my main point is we are looking at a serious possibility of a large chunk of that being matched in a grant. And from my standpoint, I often give this as an example, traveling around the country, I will guarantee you that the attractiveness of your parks, what they look like, what you're allowed to do with them, how accessible they are to tourists, are one of the cornerstones of getting people to come here. It's not just whether we have nice looking buildings, they want to go out and do something. And they don't certainly want to go out and spend their time in a disorganized series of ratty parks that we can't maintain because we choose the wrong ones or we don't build the right ones. Only a plan is going to guide us in the correct way of doing that and hopefully come back to us in terms of increased revenue.
My sense is we don't disagree for the need for some planning, but it's the timing of the planning given demands on staff and it's a rock and a hard place. But I'll take a comment from Jim and then I'm going to call for a vote.
Well, just one last comment is with the master plan, there's a lot of survey work where we ask people what their wants, needs, desires, and their level of comfort in funding those wants, needs, and desires end up. And I would just suggest that 20 years is a long time back, and our recreational industry wants and needs have changed so much over that amount of time that we're now dealing with things that didn't even exist, like off-leash dog parks, like water trails, like different places of our community that we know are going to grow because we can look at a map and see that, but without actually identifying those, then it can compound with all kinds of things like SDC charges and community development that takes place. And I would just point to Wilder, for example. We are so deficient on parks that Wilder said, well, we're going to build a park first so that we can sell our community. And all indications it's working, except for it's working almost to their disadvantage because there are many people in this community that get in their car and drive their children to Wilder Park just so they can have a play experience there. And we couldn't have predicted these things 20 years ago. And if we wait another 20 years, or we can wait until next year, or however you want to do that, but we're so outdated now that our plan is almost worthless. And so we are oftentimes left wondering, how do we spend the resources? And we don't know because we haven't asked the community in a meaningful way, which is a master plan, on what they want, what their priorities are, and what their comfort level is for moving forward in the future. And so in many times, we're wondering, well, okay, should we do this, should we do that? And we can ask the neighbors, and they're all going to say yes, but the community doesn't know. The community has not given their input because we haven't been able to ask them. And that's basically the survey component of a master plan. It's more than just looking at a map and seeing where we should build a trail, where we should go. We should do a pretty good look at asking what they want to do with their resources. And that's all.
Okay. I'd like to have a call to question on this one. So all those in favor of the motion, which was to eliminate the park system master plan in this year's budget.
This year's budget.
Right. Yes, to eliminate, raise your hand. All opposed? Raise your hand.
7-3.
Okay.
Moving along.
How many feet of sewer line do you put in for 60 grand?
I think it's a timing issue and a staffing issue. 31 was informational, unless anybody wants to discuss that at this point. And then 32 is about charging salaries to urban renewal fund, and this, I think, was partly in the plan. Do they want to address that?
What that is, both columns, I don't quite understand.
It moves from, if it...
Well, it's already in.
It's already in.
Yeah, it would go this, it would go this way, so.
Right.
33, streetlights, which ones are supported by the city and the community? This did bring up an issue on the Bayfront. Have a need for replacement, but there's no fiscal impact. Local transit agreement, 34. This was brought up because it's a recommended budget was a $90,000. We were trying to remember between Chuck and I what it was last year. We thought there was more kind of contingency put on it for reporting out on the transit district and a discussion of a
they never
agreement.
Reported on ridership. I haven't seen any report.
Right.
And I looked at the bus the other night and it was empty. I mean...
Yeah, so Spencer, you had a discussion with...
I brought that up. But
yeah. Yeah, we had a meeting with the transit director, and I wasn't aware of the discussions from last year. And so that is something that they indicated they would provide that report. So hopefully we'll have something for the committee at the next meeting. But I think with the transitions going on here at the city and again, I don't think it was a high enough priority from the transit authority to get that push the city to get it done.
Yeah.
Just didn't get done. So.
Yeah, but they still want a $90,000 check. I mean, come on, we've asked for 2 years for some kind of a ridership, and I think I was the guy that pushed for the $90,000 really hard for it.
But how much did they get last year?
$90,000.
They did get $90,000.
Yeah. And what are we getting for our $90,000? I mean, we have a lot of demands. We could use that $90,000 in many ways. So
that's
priority issue.
I'm somebody who does ride the bus occasionally, but I don't like it when somebody doesn't come through with the information that we asked. And this one fell through the cracks. But I could entertain, and they didn't ask for this. We just put it in the budgets. That was, again, was not a request from the transit.
They assume they're expecting compensation.
They came to the council before the budget process last year and asked for the money to be put back in. So they
last
were
year
they
have,
for it.
They've not done it this year.
Well, they're probably assuming
right.
that it's not an issue this year as it was last year.
And that's why we're questioning.
And I guess
the
issue on the agreement was after the budget committee process last year, after you approved the budget at the council meeting in June. When we adopted the budget, right before we adopted it, the transit folks were at the Diaz, and I asked them, and our prior city manager was sitting up there, and I said, I would like to have an agreement in place for the use of those services similar to the kind of agreements we have with the chamber, with OCCA, and everyone was nodding their head, yes, we'll get an agreement in place for this next fiscal year. Well, the fiscal year is over with, and we still have an agreement. That was the reason I brought it to Spencer's attention. So it's not the budget committee's, I guess, fault. It was basically...
I'm not saying it's fault.
No, I'm saying it. The fault's the wrong word. It's not the responsibility of the budget committee to have made it happen. It was really the responsibility of the folks involved in putting the agreement together after the council gave that direction in June last year.
The budget committee could decide to reduce that amount as... Or we can fund it, keep it as
we'd rather eliminate it. We'd rather hear from them.
Get the report out.
I think that the city management last year should have taken it upon themselves to initiate and get that agreement in place. So I'm not going to punish the transit district for something that perhaps fell through the cracks at the city end.
Right.
And I have a question about, can you put a contingency on it, on a budget line?
I think we need a contingency because Spencer's going to deal with Cinda, and if the time comes in June, Janet, when they're not ready to put forward an agreement, guess what? We, at that point in June, when we adopt the budget, we can make that an issue. We don't have to make it at the budget committee level.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that, David, you pointed out it's both parties' fault for not carrying through on it.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
We made it.
Second, they wouldn't necessarily know to come here and make a presentation if they weren't asked. And third, part of what you'll learn when they are asked to come here is that 90,000 does not support the entire city bus loop. It's only a small portion of it, and the county pays the rest. So as we move forward making that decision, you know, remember from last year that this isn't something where the city is basically bearing the full burden of the cost of that program. But, you know, I agree, they should be here, they should give a report and ask for it.
I think, you know, from my standpoint, I've initiated a discussion with them. We had a meeting. I've indicated what my expectations are. They indicated they will perform and provide us the information.
Yeah, that's good. So
I have Chuck and then Bob, and then move on.
Yeah, I think a lot of us support the bus. If we are frustrated with the lack of the report. Just to note, I think that everybody in the community can do a better job of promoting the bus. I know myself in the gallery position, there are a lot of visitors that come in to my business that if I told them about the bus, how they could jump on it and go to the aquarium, put the bike on the front, I think we'd see the ridership increase. So in addition to the transit district doing a report, I think some method for us to know how we as citizens can help make that bus more viable to our visitors. Just comment. I don't know if there's any way to address that, but I think it's important that we stress that.
Bob?
Addressing David for a minute, before we made our support final for them as a budget committee, we asked for a report, not the city council. You guys asked for that later. And we haven't seen anything. Now, what you just said, I think, was that the city council will make this decision. This is a budget committee.
No, that's not what I said. What I said was, last year, at the council level, we directed the agreement to be put in place.
That's true.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And part of that agreement would be reporting requirements.
But we asked that the report come to the budget committee. You asked that the report come to the council.
We're talking two different issues.
Yeah, so the point
yes,
is,
separate issue.
We would like a report. Not that we're on the budget, the bus companies right. want to take the 90,000 away. We'd like to know. We asked for ridership. They ought to have it. And we would like a report so we can make an intelligent suggestion. We don't want to take the 90,000 away just say, hey, it's gone. But good Lord, it was pretty adamant that Dr. Beamer probably supports this point of view, too. We asked for it specifically, right? Between the eyes. We were told. The person sitting right there, you'll get your report. We haven't gotten it. And that isn't fair to the budget committee.
So it sounds like this time we will not change this budget item. If possible, we can have a report by the next budget meeting. That would be great. But I think this is also one that the city council needs to look at when they do the final vote on the budget in June. 35 is clarification of the Northside Urban Renewal Restricted Fund. That was a question. And actually, the recommendation here is to transfer $270,683 from the reserve fund balance to contingency in the general fund. And this is going to be going towards HVAC system. Yeah.
When we put the budget together originally, it is a reserve in the general fund, but if we needed to go ahead with using those funds this year, we couldn't transfer them out of that reserve unless it's in contingency. And my desire, because of our fund balance situation, is that we hold off on doing that project until we have some level of confidence where we're at financially, because from a cash flow standpoint, it helps the cash flow in general fund. But it's got to be used for that purpose, and if we put it in contingency, then the city council would have the option during the course of the year to appropriate it for that project.
So do I have a motion?
And that's changed from my original proposed budget. So the motion would be to place those funds from the reserve into the general fund contingency.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
Yes.
A second?
Second.
any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Okay. I think 36. Okay. 36?
Bob? Yeah, 36. We're going to bring a report back to you at the next meeting because there is a surplus of funds in the debt reserves. And we're going to bring a recommendation on millage or debt at the last meeting.
Yeah, I think that generated from my question. So the answer was yes, there was.
There is a surplus.
But how will that affect the budget? How will that show up?
It'd be a millage, potential debt millage adjustment.
37 was about an increase in temporary employment and street maintenance, had to do with changes in employees. Increases in materials and services for street maintenance, again, another informational item. Question about where was wayfinding funded, and I think that's answered.
That was answered.
The number 40 is the rate structure report. If there's any additional conversation about this, Spencer?
Yeah, I'd like to touch on that just a bit. This is something that we had some discussions about, you know, doing you know, kind of a professional rates study. We didn't put any money in the budget to do that for this next fiscal year. But I think it's something that that we need to look at a staff level going forward, because the issues of the equity of how our rate structure is put together, I think, are legitimate issues that we need to take a look at. We're very heavy on our monthly fee, which hurts a lot of the lower end folks that don't use a whole lot of water. They pay a big chunk of funds. And so I think through the course of this next year, that's something I've identified as something from a staff level that will bring some information back to the council on in preparation for the next fiscal year budget. But I think it's short of going through a full fledged rate study, which can be fairly pricey.
I just want to add in there that at the infrastructure task force level, there was information compiled about that. So I hope you
I've got that information.
Good.
With all the rate structures.
Good.
From other communities.
So I'm going to keep talking, because the next one is water deposit policy. And so that was one of the questions I had. But in addition to water deposit policy, and obviously there's no budgetary impact on that, and it's obviously up to the council as to what they want to do with people who, you know, have deposits sitting online for the longest time. But my other question with regards to water is, I believe we can take credit cards now, is that correct, for water payments? So who absorbs the fee, or how do you charge out the credit card?
That's an excellent question. Right now we're absorbing, the ratepayers are absorbing the fee, but we...
The ratepayers are absorbing the credit card fee?
Correct. We aren't charging a user fee over and above the credit card.
You are, okay.
We are not.
Oh, you are not?
No, but that is something
that... Well, you
should be. That is something that's on our list to deal with, because there is a real cost involved with that. And just on the whole issue of our water policies, you know, probably, you know, one of the biggest things that I've been hit with are, as far as specific citizen complaints, are over water policy issues. And one of the things, once I get done with the budget, that I really want to spend some time on is really taking a look at what our policies are, how they're working, should we be looking at some modifications, including the deposit policy, including you know, the credit card policy. There's a lot of issues from a rate standpoint that I think we need to take a peek at as well. And so that's going to be fairly high on my list if we ever get the budget done.
Okay, so that's something you don't need a motion on, but you're going to look into that.
Because
that would be a considerable savings, you know, if you were to pass that fee on down to the customer. And trust me, they will pay it.
Right. If people want the convenience, you know, gladly pay it. So.
Okay, moving along. I don't know if we are going to hit my 8:30, but I'm not going to be here a lot longer for that. But 42 was on the SOS fund. Again, informational. 43 was informational. Shout if you want to question something. 44 was informational. 45 was where does the CDC increases come through, and Derek outlined those. Derek also discussed the building permit increases, why there was a blip. 47, what could be a potential increase? people wanted to know about more funding for sports program and senior center. Do I hear any motion to increase funding there in a measurable way? Hearing none. 48, operational costs about the pool. I had this sneaking suspicion Patricia wanted to talk about this.
Okay, so there's no recommendation or anything, and I'm just wondering, is the city planning on putting, it looks like it's going to happen, and it doesn't look like we're in a situation where we can go back in time and re-examine it. So is there a savings account? Is there any kind of proactive attempt by somebody to start socking some money away? Because I think we know it's gonna be a burden on the general fund. You know, I mean, I guess it's kind of an unknown, but let's just look in that crystal ball and say that it is.
Yeah, no, and I think the swimming pool, as it comes online, as there's been discussion today, obviously when we're looking at a long-term projections, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we are having adequate resources in order to deal with the swimming pool going forward. And looking back at the studies that were done on the swimming pool, there were some assumptions of operating costs going up. There were some assumptions also of revenue also going up as well. There's some potential efficiencies of having the two facilities coexist together, the rec center and the pool. And obviously from an energy standpoint, energy conservation has come a long way since the original pool was built. So there could be some, you know, energy savings with that building. But there was not, as far as I can tell, in discussing it with staff, there was not a comprehensive analysis done of what the operating expenses would be for the pool. So that's something obviously we're going to have to do.
Well,
the good news here is that we won't have our pool built in this fiscal year. So, but Patricia makes a valid point that we should look at it. The problem is we don't know what we're building yet. We haven't even hired the architect. Hopefully we'll come to some conclusions here in the next week or so. But so it's impossible to say, well, how much is it going to cost? But we can make some intelligent decisions and look at our horribly inefficient system now. And mind you, we're not talking about eliminating our pool budget. It'll be just the staff and the money that's already going for the pool operation will be transferred to the new operation. How much more is I think what Patricia's driving at, or anybody should be, Don Davis said it earlier too, and that is we believe that we're going to be fairly cost neutral in terms of a subsidy of that operation, and we feel like the efficiencies of a new center combined with the fact that we won't have to staff a front counter, which will offset the extra pool, like you mentioned, combined with the fact that we anticipate additional participants coming, which means additional revenue, we've always said, and I still believe, that we're going to be fairly cost neutral. With that also being said, is there's potential for partnership operations with other cities in the immediate area. More to come. But nothing's going to take place in this budget year.
It's one of the tasks of the architect to answer that question this coming year as well. So when the budget committee meets next year, we'll actually have concrete information the rest of the time.
I think that'll be an ongoing issue of pool operation and one of concern for the council.
Someone asked me in that $7.9 million if there was any money for water to put in.
That's our revenue.
Saltwater and
fresh water. Really. Yeah, it works both ways, Ralph. You know, it'll be revenue the water funds. Yeah.
Coming directly from the fish crust.
Right. Exactly. 50 was a question about the airport budget and the possibility of reducing it by 100,000. Anybody want to speak to that? Ralph.
But I hope everybody took a look at it. As I said last week, and I believe this week, that we can easily cut the airport budget by $100,000 and have the same service we have today. In fact, I think we can cut it by more than that. I look at $100,000 as a compromise position. It can be run for $150,000 or $200,000 less and get by if you had to.
I also know that Spencer wants to look at the operation, and he has plans to revise the management, possibly in staffing and so forth at the airport. I think it's time to make a statement on where we want to go in the future, and that is toward more efficiency, and I don't think we need to wait for that plan or new staffing profile or whatever to come from the city manager. I think this sets a standard for him to work toward, and I think this is money that can be made up in this budget, and we should go forth. And accordingly, I make a motion we remove $100,000 from the airport budget.
I'll second.
We have discussion about it. Spencer.
Yeah, on the removal of the funds from reviewing the operation, we're dealing with appropriations for the airport. If the funds are removed at $100,000, and there's no specific plan about how that would work, that did you, I don't think I saw anything as far as what the budget would be.
I'd be happy to go through it line by line, but I bet everybody else would.
Yeah, but anyway, the concern I've got at this stage of the game is we're setting appropriations for the next year. In my review of the airport budget, I don't believe that without major changes, which we don't know what those are yet, that we can exist on that kind of money. But you know, that's my opinion at this point. But as much as I'd love to reduce it to $100,000, I'm without having a specific plan of what we're doing, and I don't think we can live within that budget.
David and then Tim.
How much are we transferring right now out of the general fund, the general government monies? General fund into the airport.
Yeah, the transfers.
The two big transfers from the general fund are into the RAC.
$383,000
for the coming years of proposal. Okay, is that what it is?
It's $383,000, and there's a small amount from the
$25,000.
Yeah. Okay, but it's real tax.
$25,000.
I'm not going to vote in support of this motion, but I do have an alternative that might coincide with the alternative I had on the FEMA franchise fee motion, but we'll wait until your motion's done.
Tim?
$355,814.
Okay. So, anyways, I'm not going to do an amendment to your motion because it's totally separate. But.
I also manage facilities maintenance, so I can only speak from the facilities maintenance side. The structures at the airport are in terrible condition. There are several ongoing projects to try and repair some of those structures. So there's just something that's out there at the airport that is part of this operating funding.
Dean.
I agree with Spencer that he needs to relook at the whole airport configuration before we start making huge cuts. The one cut that I would like to encourage him to look at is staffing. When you have a day in November and it's blowing 30 miles an hour and it's raining 4 inches of rain, you don't need a staff member at the airport. You can have somebody on call. Usually if the jets come in, they call in advance, let you know when they're coming. The general aviation guys fill up with the card lock down there anyway, so you don't need a staff member to do that. But I just think having somebody down there 365 days a year is a little ludicrous.
I agree with Dean, the staffing down there is a problem.
Okay,
I'm hanging. But I do agree with Spencer with Dean's
A vote on Ralph's motion, which was to remove $100,000 from the airport budget that was general fund money. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Was there a second?
Sorry. All opposed?
So
now, David, would you like to make a motion?
Okay, before the motion, I just want to put in context. Earlier we made the motion to take a look at the fee and blood franchise for fiscal year 15-16 and start reducing that to keep more in the water and sewer funds, which would take money out of the general fund. I think what I would like to do as a companion motion to that is, as we're looking at the reduction out of the general fund and keeping more money in the water and sewer fund, that we also look at a reduction in the transfer out of the general fund into the airport fund and start reducing that starting next year, maybe over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. Because right now, as we're keeping money, and this is context right now, as we're keeping money in the water and sewer fund, because there's no longer that fee in lieu of franchise fee, well then, if we reduce the money coming out of the general fund into the airport fund and keep that transfer in the general fund, we basically find that additional money that we're losing. I think we need to put those two together over the next 3 to 5 years or longer, and I think we can then have that balancing act going on.
So your motion is?
The motion is, that starting in fiscal year 15-16, we direct our city administration to look at starting to reduce the subsidy going from the general fund into the airport fund, and to continue that reduction over the next 3 to 5 years as deemed appropriate.
I'll second that.
To reduce it, I say eliminate, but that could be elimination at the end of the day. That's reduction is what I use.
Ralph, and then we'll vote.
Well, I think that's better than nothing. But on the other hand, it's awful. I think we should stand up and pick a number. And, you know, if you don't like 100,000, try 75 or 50.
I'm going to let Spencer work that out.
Well, I think he will, but I think we need to.
I'm not going to want to micromanage.
But I think that Spencer hears that it needs to be a significant
reduction. We found our balance
reduction
right there. Yeah.
This has been an ongoing discussion about much as we like Dean and his airplane, that's a lot of money. So,
it's all going to Dean, too.
Is Spencer authorized to make cuts during the course of this new fiscal year, if you can find them?
Yeah, I think basically what I anticipate on the airport presenting a plan to the airport committee, ultimately forwarding that plan on to the city council, taking a look at how we need to operate the airport going forward. The catch is, during the fiscal year, you can always spend less than what you appropriate. But if you cut the appropriation by 100,000 and you need more than that to operate, then that's kind of the concern I have.
So Spencer, next year as you're making a recommendation, if you and Bob or whoever's our Bob, I know you don't like to hear next year. In my breath, Bob is okay. Bob, if you were still here, if you do see that you can remove money out of the general fund and keep it in the water and sewer fund because the fee in lieu of, then look and see correspondingly how much you can keep in the general fund by not moving it into the airport fund. And there you've got your kind of your savings, and we're still maintaining the general fund as status quo.
Yeah. I think David's motion gives him the flexibility.
Well,
so
I'm giving him some context to that motion.
All in favor of David's motion, please raise your hand.
Wishy-washy as Ralph thinks it is.
All opposed.
Passes.
Okay, I'm at 8:30. I know that some people need to leave, but I think we need to get through.
Push.
Yes.
Yep.
Push. So push through. So 51 was informational, kind of related to the last one. 52 and 53 were both on transit room tax history and current uses. This was a 54 was a correction. 55, I think, is a discussion because it's eliminate or reduce the current housing fund, which had been set up by the city council. You can eliminate the transfer, which is we could eliminate the fund, or we could keep it as is. Ralph.
55.
Okay, those of you that are on the council already know what I'm going to say.
No.
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 Some of us who are not on the council.
I won't go into the details about it. The current plan for the use of that fund and how much I think that's a bad idea. Some of you already heard that, but so there's two issues on the table, as Janet just said. One of them is to reduce the contribution, which the city manager has changed direction on, and
actually, that was a typo in my report.
The city manager is not changing direction.
We gave you a new page.
Yeah, if you read the new page,
nobody's wishing it. Anyway, I thought you changed your mind, but in any event, there's a $13,000 contribution, which is part of this budget, but there's also $180,000 sitting in account dedicated to housing. And I don't believe, as I said last week, that the city belongs in the housing business. I think there's too many more important and critical needs for our money than that today. And we have the county, we have the state that provide that sort of service. I don't think we should do it. So without wasting a lot of time, I would propose that we, one, recommend to the council to change our goals and eliminate that fund and transfer that money back to the general fund. And two, eliminate the $13,000 contribution for this year.
Second. We have a discussion around this.
Ralph, just so I'm clear on your motion, recommend that the council do it or consider doing it?
Do it.
That's a little too, well, okay.
Well, same difference, Council.
No, well, anyways.
It's up to the Council to make decisions.
I know, but there's a difference in meaning between the two.
It's funny, whatever.
I'm just messing with you about that.
Whatever you like.
Anyways.
I think, Derek, if you want to speak to...
It wasn't important to anybody.
I think it was very, very clear in my response, and I think everybody's had a chance to take a look at it. The city has obligations to deal with housing. This is a very modest investment. We have a partnership that's being worked on. The council has not committed to that partnership yet, but this would preclude them from being able to, these funds weren't available. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
I'm not on the council, but I do happen to believe that the city should be in the housing business because I think it is a major piece of who we are and what we do in the city. The city needs a lot of redevelopment. We don't have affordable housing. We don't have good workforce housing. I don't know how many of you read the newsletter from the school district that came in the mail yesterday, but there was a plea in there for people to send in any rentals that they might have for new teachers who've been coming into the area. It's a problem. 40 new teachers, and where are they going to? It's one reason we can't hire new police officers. There's no place for them to rent.
Toledo.
So it's an issue.
Would
so
you want to
will not vote in favor of the motion.
So one final comment. Even though I'm not going to vote in favor of the motion, I still believe as a council we need to continue revisiting this issue and maybe do something a little bit different because this is an ongoing issue and this won't stop with this motion.
No, this I think issue. That is true. Okay. Any other comments on Ralph's motion? All those in favor of Ralph's motion, which is eliminating? All opposed? Motion fails.
I'd like to make one more motion.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to move that we not make the $13,000 contribution this year.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor of not making the contribution?
That went over about as well.
Raise your hand. It was the same four.
That motion was just for the 13. Okay.
That's same five, same nine.
Okay. Housing continues to be a topic, and I know that Spencer has that on his list.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Bob. Get up early tomorrow.
Thank you, Robert.
South Beach Urban Renewal District use of proceeds. That was information. 57 is information. 58 was a recommendation that came in after a meeting of increasing lifeguard salaries by $1 an hour.
What is it currently?
Currently, it's at least minimum wage and maybe as much as $1 more.
It's a dollar less than Lincoln City, a dollar less than Toledo, right?
I haven't done a comparison, but we're
okay. I was told
probably
that.
In that neighborhood.
So, yes, I just threw that out there because I think that Toledo and Lincoln City are paying X, you should be paying X.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
I make a motion that we add $10,170 to increase the lifeguard salary by $1 an hour.
Second.
I have a question. Do you have a problem recruiting lifeguards?
We have a problem retaining them. Once you recruit them, you train them, and you get them all ready to go, and then they jump for a higher paying gig.
And is the retaining about salary?
Well, there are many reasons why people leave employment, but low pay is probably one of the largest factors that forces an employee to look elsewhere.
Can I just make an observation since I'm a swimmer and I use it every day? Those lifeguards look awfully young and they look like they're getting ready to go to college. It seems like that's the talk. So I think I'm just wondering if maybe one of the reasons is that's a part-time thing for them. You know, I wouldn't say part-time, but that's their thing and then they move on to go to college or to finish out their education. That's the theme I get. It's not like I'm not getting paid enough. I got to move on to another job. I'm not getting that, but
I couldn't say that about all of them. There are some, and obviously we.
Of course, I'm at the 6 o'clock.
We were hired the most Janet? Intelligent.
No. Yes, there was. Dean Laura seconded.
I thought it was
Did you second it?
No, I didn't second it.
Did you second it?
Dick seconded it.
Oh, Dick seconded it. Oh, yes, yeah.
Who was the second?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Dick.
Yeah, I said.
I don't know.
So. I thought Dick seconded it.
Okay, I did.
Okay.
So, this is why we need to wrap up.
We're getting close, though, so we have to stay on task.
Question is Dean or Jim? Dean, is the reason why you just singled out the lifeguard is to increase the dog per hour and not other part-time folks at the rec center?
I guess it just comes down to me to fairness.
No, I'm talking about why them, and I mean, fairness would be why not everyone at $1 an hour who are in the same position as lifeguards? That's what my question is. Why the lifeguards only?
That's a Jim question.
I'm curious, why lifeguards only? I mean, if we're talking $1 per hour, wouldn't it apply equally across all the part-time employees who are getting the same wages as the lifeguards? And what's the question? Why the lifeguards? That's my question.
I didn't ask the question.
Right. Well, Dean, you did, so, I mean...
I think typically, this would be handled at a budget committee level.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
the wage study at the board, but...
I'm trying to wonder why we're even considering this issue. That's the point.
Well, look at Seattle. We could raise everybody minimum wage to the whole city.
I'm talking about at the budget committee level. Why we're considering it at the budget committee level.
There was a motion.
It's a motion on the floor.
Okay.
All those.
Well, it was brought to my attention last week, and I didn't know.
You know what?
Fairness.
Let's vote on the motion. All those in favor of adding $10,170 to the Parks and Rec Fund to increase lifeguard wages, raise their hand.
At a budget committee.
All opposed. Okay, sorry. Egg Beach Playground Equipment. This was in the capital fund, capital projects, at $100,000, and it was brought up. Somebody wanted to discuss that.
Yeah, and it was not funded. It was a request for $100,000, not funded in the budget, and a request for potentially funding it was what the wish list was.
And I would just say, Tim said that he was going to remove it by July 1st. I would recommend tomorrow. It's really bad. If you're going to remove it and get rid of it.
We wanted to make sure that the budget was approved before I go and ripped it out.
I'm just saying, right, we gathered.
It's incredibly bad condition right now.
And I think this also ties back to the parks planning, because is there an ongoing need for equipment up at that area? It's kind of tied.
The park is actively used. It's a really nice park, and it's actively used by lots of people. And the playground equipment was heavily used, and it's unfortunate, but it's dangerous.
And that comes back to what you talked earlier about the master plan. Is that park really used? I know that equipment is very old, but is it actually used? And I don't know the answer to that question.
That's what Tim just said.
I have a feeling you're going to find out exactly how used it is as soon as we rip the equipment out.
So does anybody, do I hear a motion to add $100,000 back into the budget?
Take it out of your court budget.
Well, that's an idea. 60 is on the building officer. 61 was a request from one of the budget committee members to purchase 4 vehicles rather than 3. So we want to make a motion to that effect. Sorry. Chief. You get 3. That's pretty good for this one. You get 3. 62 is morale.
Yeah, here I am again. So you all saw the email that I sent out, which was, it was just a mathematical analysis of the various codes that showed substantial percentage increases from last year to this year in the budget. There were about 25 of them that could be used for the comparison. And some of them were substantiated and some of them aren't. Some of them, if you look at the write-up we got back, basically said, well, it's a place to keep a little extra money in case we need it. Well, that's what contingency is for. It shouldn't be in budget items. And if you take a look at all of those codes, the sum total of them, if you incremented last year's, I'm using the projected end cost, if you projected this year's end cost by 5%, that's about a $450,000 or something like that increase versus just raising them by about 5%. It's a lot. And like I say, some of them can be substantiated, but if you take out the personnel issues, which I still don't understand. I still don't understand why things like retirement go up 19% when our salaries and wages are only going up 12%. But if you just take the supplies and maintenance type of codes, that's small tools again, but vehicle maintenance, gas and oil, and utilities, we're still, and not even consider the personnel issues or the legal costs, we're still up $250,000 over what it would be under a normal escalation type percentage. So what I would like to see is that city staff go back and look at taking those codes and putting a standard escalation on them, except in those cases where they have substantive purchases or justification for raising them beyond what normal escalation would be.
Sure. On the issue, one of the problems of comparing the estimated expenses for the end of the year with the proposed budget is we're dealing with two separate issues. One is what we actually are going to spend this year. The second part is having allowances and appropriation for what we're going to spend in the year coming up. I would agree with Ralph on the fact that a number of our departments have used contingencies in line items, and I think as we work our way through the budget, this year I did not make any dramatic changes to that issue. I've had discussions with departments about that issue, and I think that's something that will change next year. But one of the concerns I had was making a significant organizational change, because the departments, even though their numbers are budgeted high, and if you look back, I actually peeled back those numbers from in a lot of cases from what was appropriated last year by the council, but they're still higher than what we anticipate they'll be at the end of the year. But I think from a budget standpoint, a budget is really dealing with a financial plan to go forward. I think if you try to peg these to last year's actual expenses, I have a little concern about how that might impact the overall budget. I think going forward in the future, I do want to use the contingency line items and get these contingencies out of line items. But I wasn't comfortable making that change in this particular fiscal year until I really understood, you know, what's going on financially here.
Other comments? So Ralph, does that satisfy you? I mean, I know you missed it. Blast this.
No, it doesn't.
I didn't think of it.
Well, then make your motion.
I would make a motion that we have city staff review those 25 or whatever there are line items and come back with recommendations that take contingency out of the funds that do include them at this time in comparison with last year's expenditures.
I'll second.
So is that by next week?
Yes.
Ralph, I'm sorry, could you just say that one more time?
I'd like the city staff to take a look at those line items and remove any funding that is put in there as a contingency that can't be justified over and above last year's expenses plus standard escalations.
And I guess my question would be to Spencer and Bob, is that doable by next week?
Anything's doable, but it means that things aren't going to get done. But if it's a priority of the budget committee to do that, we can do that. If it's not a priority of the budget committee, I've got things that I promised people I would do that I haven't gotten to do because the budget process is taking, like an airport report, because of the time that the budget has taken me this year. So, but anyway, it's up to the budget committee. If you want that, we'll do it. If the budget committee isn't interested, then we'll not do it.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to support Ralph, but there's a validity in what you're saying, and I think it's something we should give direction to the city management for the next budget process, or at least.
And I would agree with that.
But I know that's too wishy-washy for you.
Yes, it is.
But
in the future direction, I agree with what Ralph is saying. I'm just not comfortable doing it in this fiscal year.
I'm not going to make it happen.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of Ralph's motion, raise your hand.
Get him up there, folks.
You got a bribe us. All those opposed, raise your hand. But I do believe that the city manager has very...
Not that I disagree with the philosophy.
Okay.
We have two more to go.
The dam seismic study, this, I think it's been brought up by Don once before, of why we need to do this. I think if no change, it was the seismic study stays in the budget.
You're asking me to talk about it now?
I'm talking about your seismic study on the dam.
Well, I guess my question was, nobody's ever planned on the lower dam being saved, and I don't see why we need to study it. Before we even built the new water treatment plant, one of the options was to take the intake line all the way up to the upper dam. And it was just to save money that they decided they still use the lower dam for a few more years. Now, he also states in here that he would increase the capacity of the line from Sletover. Well, that line from the Slets was built to carry 3,000 gallons a minute, and that's your water rate.
And I believe that this money is a grant from the state, correct?
Yeah, there's a thing proposed in this year's budget of $250,000. The money in this year's budget, $250,000 of that is a grant that we've been awarded. $150,000 is proposed to be funded through the water fund or the water revenue bond. The reason that we proposed to do that is, number one, I needed to be able to finish the study. Number two, we're also pursuing an additional $150,000 of grant funding. I already have spent the match for the $250,000 grant. I need to invest an additional $150,000 to match the $150,000 grant. But it will cost us at least that to finish out the study. And what the study will provide us at this point, and that ship has sailed. The study is underway. It is no longer a question about whether we want to do it or not. It's whether you want to stop the study in the middle of the study. That's where we're at right now. And what the study will provide us is very concrete direction on what to do with both of our reservoirs. And one of the options could very well be abandon the lower dam. I think the majority of the study is actually focusing on the upper reservoir, because we pretty much acknowledge that the lower reservoir is kind of a lost cause. But then what is the impact of that in terms of our raw water storage ability? Because I lose 1/5 of my raw water stored by losing the lower dam. I can't afford to do that at this point. And so what's the impact of that, you know? Actually, the Sluts line does not actually allow us our full water right. We've certified up to our full 6 CFS out of the Sluts, and we can't move that capacity through the existing raw water line currently.
Is the pumps out there don't run that much?
The pumps cannot run that much right now, but even if I oversize the pumps, the critical path is in the pipeline itself. And that's actually through the engineering study done by Civil West on that. That's part of the master planning process, is that raw water line doesn't have the capacity to meet the total certified right.
Well, now, what you say the certified right, you got 6 CFS, right? That makes 4 million gallon round figure. 4 million gallon over 700 CFS is 1 million gallon. That pretty close to that.
The pipeline's the critical path, you know. So we can what's likely going to happen is we just don't have the money to upgrade the pipeline any farther. We simply upsize the pumps to the point where we can meet the full demand of the raw water line, which we can do, but we can't meet our full right with that pipeline. It's not large enough.
So
I don't have the details behind that, but that's what the hydrology has shown.
So the question in front of us right now is whether to cut the funding for the seismic study, and as Tim says, we're halfway through it, or if not more. So right. Do I hear a motion to...
It's certainly not advisable for me. And frankly, if we stopped, DEQ could probably make us continue. It was even within our dam study, or the annual dam certification study that we have to do every year. They come out and review our dams because they're high-hazard dams. One of their directives was to continue with the dam study, because they know that we have two very hazardous dams, and they wanted to know what we're planning on doing about it. And the study is getting us to that point.
So do I hear a motion? Mr. Davis?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but you're saying that somebody at the state has told you they demand this study, or they'll do what?
The statement was the city of Newport needs to continue the dam study. That's
the lower dam
verbatim.
The dam study.
Actually, I think it said the city of Newport needs to continue the seismic stability for the lower Big Creek reservoir.
The lower dam.
differentiate between the two. It didn't really differentiate between the two. I happen to know, based on my discussions with the engineering group, they're not really spending much time on the lower dam. What they're doing is they're taking a look at what options we have, either to remediate the upper dam or replace both dams with a different dam. And it's a feasibility study. What are your cost? What's the cost-benefit analysis? I could go and attempt to remediate the lower dam. That is certainly a feasible, maybe not a feasible option, but it's certainly an option. But it's probably not the preferred option.
Okay, but what have they done? I mean, are they just standing out there looking at stars, or are they drilling holes?
We took a lot of samples, different kinds of samples, and they take those samples and really. Our geology here is incredibly unique to the west coast of Oregon. It's not found anywhere else in the world. And so some of the sampling that they've done is state of the art, and it's not something they've ever had to accomplish before. And so some of the parameters that they use in a standard type of seismic analysis are not applicable. And they want to make sure that they're not overcompensating because the types of soils are not responding like another type of soil would. And so that's why it's taking so long. It's not necessarily adding any cost to it. It just takes them an awful lot of time to develop a new sampling standards. And what they're doing right now is they took all those samples. Those are done. They're being tested right now. And then they'll take those samples back. They'll come up with some scenarios about remediation strategies. And they'll come back to council this fall. And they'll say, OK, council, this is what we've discovered through our soils analysis. Here's some very large, big picture costs of different types of scenarios that are available to you. Which of those options do you want us to explore in more depth? And so the council is really going to choose two or three options that they want to explore in depth based on environmental impact, cost, impact to our water supply, time, all kinds of factors that will be associated with that. And then they'll continue that and say, okay, of your top three, here's some very concrete costs, here's some very concrete impacts, time frames, funding scenarios, everything. And then the council at the end of that process will say,
what are they doing?
So,
are they drilling right straight down at the upper dam?
Don, no. I think that at this point, this is since you're discussing the study and that we're already there, I suggest that you and Tim get together and talk about the study.
We have samples all over the region. It's not just in the dams themselves, upstream.
Well, I have to see that dam built. And they dug down to what was very solid material.
We went through the dam, we went through the toe of the dam, we went through the crest of the dam, and we have a very good soil profile of the entire region.
So, okay, they take us right straight through that way.
Right through the middle of it.
But they haven't come back with it yet.
Don, I'm going to cut off this conversation because I want to, and I think that you have to have a conversation with Tim about the dam. Anybody want to make a motion to take this out of the budget? Hearing
take
none.
It out, isn't it in the budget?
It's in the budget. To take it out. So, hearing none, we'll move on to the last issue, which is 64. And this had to do with the engineer's position. I think there was a question about the vacant engineer's position and an engineering tech position. And my understanding, Tim, is you felt at this time the tech position was more useful to you given that you already have yourself and one engineer.
Too many chiefs, not enough braves.
Part of this was just, I think, the skill set involved with running projects.
I have two registered professional engineers on staff and one engineering technician. Those are not good. I need a lot more bodies to do work for me. Mm-hmm. I have enough PEs at this point.
So you're fine with where we are right now?
Mm-hmm.
Any changes to that? Excellent. One last thing. There was a page of corrections.
I refuse to look at them.
All I need is somebody to make a motion to accept the changes. And they were just, it was page 31.
You do that in one motion?
One motion. There was just some corrections. I
recommend that.
Do I have a motion to accept the changes? Mark has moved a second. Dean, all those in favor of change? Dean did. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you very much. Okay.
Look how we get things done at the end.
Next week.
Did we save any money? What was the scorecard?
We'll be coming back with the draft of the draft of the budget.
We saved some money, but we spent a little more.
We'll have some more time to discuss if there are areas of concern that came up today that we didn't get to.
What's our
question? Spencer, I do have a question later before you leave. It's okay.
And I think we've kept a list. I have a list of areas of general concern. We might want to circle back and see where we are with it.
Yeah.
So, Spencer, a request with the transit district, since the issue about reporting isn't about the agreement, is if we could contact Cindy and see if she can prepare a report and be here at the next budget committee meeting to present that report, if not, at the first council meeting in which we adopt the budget. I think that would be a, given Robert's comments, I think we should make an effort to have Ryan do that. So anyways, that was all I had.
Okay.
Yep. So basically, the actions that the committee will be taking at the next meeting, we will have the village rates that have to be approved by the budget committee. We'll have the actual budget that gets approved by the budget committee. A recommendation on the policy. And one of the things that I want to do at the very end of the discussion is talk about this process this year, what worked, what didn't work, in order to reinvent it for next year.
The bonding requirements.
And the bonding requirements is the other piece. So anyway, it should be a shorter meeting. It should be a very short meeting next week.
Any more handouts or shorter?
What's that?
Or any more handouts?
We'll email something out to you on Tuesday, but it won't be anywhere like this.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody. You know, we get tired, and thank you for pulling through, and thanks to Ralph for bringing up
the topic.
This is a public comment meeting, so.
Oh, yeah.
And then it'll be just a continuation.
First of all, I want to thank everybody because you guys are putting in a lot of hard work, and thank you. And I don't know where to start because I've had some pretty stupid ideas come before the city council that I considered a waste of money. For example, with the transportation or the bus, people came up with the idea of having a plastic box put over the signs and spending $300-$400 for each box and asking the city council to fund that, when I walked over to people and said, why don't they just make really nice posters, maybe get Mr. Fornash's assistance to put into the motels that are big enough for old people like me to read, and that way it could be laminated or framed or whatever, so that these posters are on the inside, and for businesses like Mr. Fornash's, have a smaller but classy sign in the window. That's an example to me on how the transit department was wasting money, and I brought that up. And you know, I would really like to have that really looked at as far as the transit. And they came up with an idea of having a contest to see which employee was going to go promote the bus system more than the others and have a special prize for them. And I'm going, no, just put up a nice sign. But that's just an example, but you guys are doing a great job, and thank you for all you do.
My apologies for overlooking you.
That's all I have to say.
So this hearing will be continued next week at 6 o'clock.
Aren't you regret if you ask people to come to the meetings?
No. In fact, this is fairly light turnout compared to other meetings.
Wait till next week.
For our next regular
This is more internal.
It's still right there.